It's time for Twig. This week in Google, why some German chefs don't want you to take pictures of their food. Is it all over for Google now? And what about Facebook M? Plus, I'll give you a report on what happened to my stylus when I stuck it in the wrong way. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by Cachefly, CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 315, recorded Wednesday, August 26th, 2015. Disappearable Hearables. This Week in Google is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/twig. That's LYNDA.com/TWIG. And by PagerDuty. PagerDuty decreases alerting noise for IT operations and developers to ensure that the right engineers are notified at the right time. Increase your uptime and sign up for a 14-day free trial at pagerduty.com/twit. And by JustWorks.com. JustWorks helps businesses take care of their benefits, payroll, and HR with intuitive software. Visit JustWorks.com and enter the offer code TWIG to receive 15% off your first year of services. It's time for Twig, This Week in Google. And it's a lot more than Google, as always, but we're going to have a great time today because Mike Elgin's in-house. Always love that when our news director from TNT joins us. Mike is a Google Plus fanatic.
I prefer freak, if that's okay.
Okay.
If
I'm like
freak.
And the best-dressed man in this studio today. Nice to see you again, Mike.
See you.
We thought Jeff Jarvis wouldn't be here because you had an all-day event at CUNY.
You were hoping not, but I'm sticky. You can't get rid of me.
I believe my response to your warning was, "Oh no, we can't do this show without Jeff Jarvis." But glad you're here. How'd it go?
It was good. I had a conference on media and membership here at CUNY.
Membership. What does that mean?
It means I'm about to sneeze.
go ahead, sneeze. You can't do it on command. As soon as there we go. Oh, that was satisfying for me.
So it just means that it's a new way to have a new relationship with your public and to get them to be members, and what that means. And all membership means today is give me your money, and we want to push the definition beyond that.
Yes,
and that's enough.
We don't ask for people's money. We just ask for something a lot more valuable: their attention,
their devotion, their love.
And if they want to give us some money, we'll take that too. Ron Amadio is here from Ars Technica. Great to have you. He's the Android guy, and thank you for retweeting my woes.
I should that video was perfect. We'll get into it later, but that was the exact same reaction I had just offline, you know, before.
Did you do the same thing?
When I first saw it. Oh, yeah, I did exactly the same thing. That's why I wrote the article, because, you know, you read it, you read about it, and you're like, yeah, whatever. And then it happens to you, and you're like, oh, my God.
That's exactly it. It all starts with Android Central and Jeff Nickinson's column, in which he points out.
No pun intended.
That Phil Nickinson, I'm sorry. You should not put in your stylus the wrong way in the pen. And he really kind of, you know, I wish I'd read this first. As usual with most people, I read the headline and kind of the synopsis, and I didn't get to this line. The S Pen goes into the Note 5 point first. Do not put it in butt first. It will get stuck in uppercase. Had I read that, I might have been less likely to do what I did on Mac Break Weekly. Here's the video of it, actually, because it was very
easy to do that.
Oh, I just did it. Oh, crap.
Leo.
And that's their official stance is RTFM?
Are you serious, Leo? Did you just do it?
Withdraw the stylus.
I thought, because it went in so easily, I thought, oh, this isn't going to be a problem to get it out.
Oh my God. The Clippers closed down on it, apparently.
They did. So you did that too, Ron? It's so easy, isn't it? That's what's deceiving about it. Is it goes in just without any effort. It just goes right in.
It is zero force, and yeah, it just kind of clamps down. It's exactly the same feeling as like using a Chinese finger trap, where like you put your fingers in and then you try to go out, and all of a sudden there's this force that wasn't there before. It's really weird.
Some people report, and I think you reported this in your article, that you can do it again and maybe fix it.
Yeah, I got mine out without it being broken.
Oh, you.
So
how'd you do it?
I put it in there and wiggled it out. And the first time I got it out, it didn't work. And then I got it stuck again.
What?
And tried to pull it out again. Right. And then it worked. So I think.
So you think if I stick it in again, there's a chance I'll fix it?
Yeah. I think
go for it, Leo. You haven't done that yet on this show.
Disaster here, Leo.
So let me tell you what happened. Says as MacBreak Weekly ended, I had a phone that this is the Note 5, by the way. I had a phone that had a pen sticking out, kind of like an antenna on the bottom. And I went to AT&T because that's where I bought it from AT&T, $850. It was not a cheap phone.
You pay full board.
Yeah, I buy the phones. It is a little bit annoying because there's no, if you're going to buy it in the U.S., you have to buy it from a carrier, you know, with the incumbent 2-year contract and all that stuff. But that's the way it is. And I didn't want to wait for the unlocked version. In the past, I bought unlocked international galaxies, and that's kind of always been a mistake. So this was a mistake too, as it turned out, because AT&T didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Really?
I said, can I? So the guy said, well, that's intentional damage. We're not going to fix that. So I said, Yeah. So I said, can I speak to a manager? And he said, yeah, you know, you could. Samsung has a 1-year warranty. You probably could send it to them. Jeez. I said, okay, well, I like this phone. I don't want to lose it. Now it's only a week old. Could I just give it back? He said, yeah, you could do that, but you can't do it in this state. You have to pull the pen out, put it back in. I said, but you know that will break it. And he didn't. I think what he was implying is, well, we wouldn't know that. So, because the breaking, by the way, I should point out, and you know this, Ron, the breaking isn't that big a deal. The breaking only means that it doesn't sense the pen sliding out, so it doesn't go into that off-screen notation mode. I can still use the pen in every respect.
Well, and the little menu doesn't pop out automatically.
No, but if you press the button and hover, it pops out, so it's not the end of the world.
Well, I mean, the stylus is supposed to be the big differentiator on these things. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know which.
It's not the end of the world, but it's still the end of your $800.
It's still gone. The phone works in every other respect. Air Command works. You just have to press the button on the stylus now. It turns out that's not actually it.
It isn't?
So this is a little deceptive. That hook is the spring hook that you press so it'll pop out. There is an even tinier little tiny plastic hook below that gets caught in one of the ridges of the pen and snaps off. Now, apparently what happened to you, Ron, is that got pushed up, but you were able to kind of pull it back down and you were lucky.
Yeah, that's a great picture, though. I've had people send me stuff about, oh, this happened to me, too. And somebody broke the top right off and it stayed in the device. Just have, you know, it broke off like just above the G and yeah. So, but he said he talked to Samsung and they replaced it. So Samsung hasn't said too much about this.
Yeah, their response was, well, you should have read the manual, but it doesn't come with a manual.
No, it does not.
their response, but there's an online PDF that does say, and by the way, this is a mistake on their part, very clearly not to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it might break the phone. That, which is an admission that they knew before the phone was shipped, that this was the case.
Yep. But what about those videos you always see? We do this 1,000 times to make sure it'll always work. We tromped on it. We did all this good stuff.
Jesus. Yeah.
Would Apple have done this?
Well, my initial thought was,
Apple would have blamed you.
Well, right. But when I left the AT&T store, I was thinking, had I bought an iPhone and something like that happened, Apple would have just swapped it.
Yeah.
Kind of no questions asked, I think.
Well, but the difference is this. The product as a whole has a flaw. Apple's first response in the past has been, it's how you're holding the phone.
Imagine how expensive this will be to fix if they try to fix it.
Yeah. Well, how many units are out, though?
Oh, that we don't know. Maybe they've sold 10. I don't know. This is a superb phone. And one of the things I'm unhappy, I don't want to give this up. So I can live with, I did break it, so I can live with it being broken. I suspect they'll fix this flaw in future ones, and it'll, you know, if you bought one in a week or a month, it will be fixed. But I don't know what they're going to do for us early adopters.
I mean, if you permanently, if you break the little sensor thing off, then you would need a replacement, I think. I wonder if there's some kind of alternate stylus design that they could ship out to existing customers that wouldn't get stuck, because this is a hollow plastic tube. This doesn't really cost any money.
Right.
I'm sure they could come up with something, maybe.
So here's the illustration from 9 to 5 Google. It's really it's a little technical. It's a little kind of a technical illustration. But so this lever 2, the first lever up at the top, is actually the, you know, not the lever that gets broken. That's not the sensor lever. This little notch in the pen apparently gets caught in a much smaller, there it is, you can barely see it, sensor here. That's the presence sensor. And there's a tiny little black piece of plastic there, and I guess that's what's on mine snapped off. Yours works, though, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think there's a state that it can be in where you remove it and it won't work anymore, and you put it back in and it will maybe go to a state that does work, and then you can remove it.
Should I do that, Ron? Is that your recommendation?
You could try. I mean, it's already broken.
I could break it worse. I could break it worse. See, and the thing is, I expected, so this is my natural suspicion of tech blogs is, oh, you know, they're overblowing this. You probably had to press harder to get it to do that. And what I didn't understand is it just went in very, without any pressure at all.
Yeah.
And it just happens if you pass a certain point, you're done for.
And so now when you put it in, but now you have no fear of which way you put it in, because it'll still broken the same way.
No, I think I do.
I'll get mine jammed again. I wonder if we just
Do it, Ron.
Like straight up gravity. I wonder if it will get stuck.
See? You see how easy that went in?
Ha!
Okay, that's the demonstration. Geez. That's the critical demonstration.
Yeah.
Right there. That's why I was surprised. Gravity is sufficient.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they have a little bit of a problem. Because you could see a kid doing this, or in the dark, I'm not really paying attention. It'd be an
easy
thing.
Well, who pays attention to which way you're going to put it in?
Exactly.
Should be able to go in any which way you want to put it in.
I would hope everybody now would pay attention.
I think what's even more interesting is that previous notes prevented this. Yeah. This one does not.
Yeah. This could not happen.
And I don't understand why. All they really had to do was make the flat end just a tiny bit wider than the rest of the entire pen, and that would prevent all of this.
Why did they not do that? They wanted it to be flush on the bottom, right?
This is a brand new stylus design that has this kind of spring-loaded pop-out thing.
Oh, you got it out? Did you get it out, Ron? Have you got it out?
Yeah, I just kind of.
And is it working? Is the sensor working?
No.
So you broke it. You did it for us,
maybe.
Though.
It did this before, though, and I put it back in and kind of messed around with it, and it works again. Yeah. So,
I thought that was very telling that he just let that go. The gravity was sufficient.
What he's willing to do for his public.
You are a good run. It's working. It's working. You fixed it.
Okay, we're good.
All right.
You fixed it. And that's the one thing that doesn't work anymore is that kind of cool feature, but not one I call it the write a girl's number down in the bar feature. It's not something I'm going to be doing. So,
can I ask a different question about the phone?
Yeah.
How is the state of Samsung bloatware?
Much better.
Is it?
I think this is until then, this is my favorite phone right now. But now, I'm waiting. It's better than, I'm waiting for the Moto X Pure. That's coming out
That's going to be cool.
September 3rd. And I'm waiting to see what the Nexi are. Because you know what? Google Fi has turned out to be a real money saver for me.
Really?
Yeah. So it's $20 for unlimited voice and text, and then $10 per gigabyte for data.
Right.
But it was only $30 last month. Because I didn't use it. Because most of the data is on Wi-Fi. So I could see that being a real savings. Because it could be as little as $20. If you only earn Wi-Fi, you only use $20.
Yeah. Plus, if you leave the country for a month, you can turn it off and then come back, and you don't have to pay that much.
But I'm not fond of the Nexus 6. I think it's a little large. This is 5.7. It's just right. What do you think, Ron? You like this phone?
It's wildly expensive. I mean, it's what? It's $800?
It was more than $800, which kills me.
Yeah, especially when you compare that to, Samsung's nightmare, Xiaomi, is selling. If you've ever played with a Xiaomi Mi Note, those are like $400 or $500, I think. So I really don't see the $300 worth of extra value here. I mean, it's a great device. It's like the most premium Note Samsung's ever built. You know, you're not going to be able to take the battery out or do an SD card or whatever. But the build quality is great. The camera's great. It has a fingerprint reader and all that stuff. It's just priced the way I feel like you priced cell phones a couple years ago. Right. And now everybody's kind of dropped prices in Samsung.
You know, it's ironic, though. That's in the Android world. Apple's not going to drop its prices.
No, well, they don't have to. There's no other competition for an iOS device. It's about the ecosystem.
Yeah, this is Apple priced, essentially. Yeah.
So, Ron, I'm so glad you're on the show because I want to ask you something. The Huawei Nexus, you wrote about this, has the weird, like, protruding camera stuff, right? And it's very conspicuous looking. It's probably just a lot of camera electronics that they couldn't quite cram in there. But what?
Look at that bump.
But what are the chances that this is Project Tango?
There's a picture of a case on there, too, and it covers everything other than the... So there's a case, and they make these cases to the manufacturer's spec, basically. They say, we need cutouts here, here, and here. So the only cutouts there at the top are the camera, the flash, and that little extra thing must be a laser autofocus. So
it's unlikely.
It's just extra stuff. I think a lot of that bump is it's a plastic window to get signals out because the majority of the phone is metal.
Explain what Tango is so people understand why that's important.
Okay, so Project Tango is Google's invention for 3D mapping in real time of indoor and outdoor spaces with a smartphone or a tablet.
So now you could buy a Tango tablet, is what they're selling the inside of your store.
You could do it for games, for augmented reality. There's lots of applications for it.
Being blind.
Exactly. And it's amazing technology.
But it's a big-ass tablet, right?
It's a big-ass tablet, and the electronics for that used to exist in very expensive desktop computers. Right. Google managed to get it down into a mobile form factor. This thing is not coming out to the end of the year at the earliest, I understand. And so it occurred to me that since the tablet's already out there, and, of course, this was first demonstrated on smartphones, this could be their first entree, given that it's a Nexus and so on. But, yeah, it doesn't seem likely to me either at this point.
Yeah, Tango needs sensors. It's a 3D sensor. It's basically like slapping an Xbox Kinect on the back of your device. And it needs, you know, a camera here and then over here. So, you know, so you get two different angles, like a stereo view kind of. So you'd need a hole on the other side, and there isn't one, so no.
So why did they need so much space for this camera electronics? Everybody else is cramming, you know, for the most part, the camera electronics into the cases that are, you know, that are shipping. Why do they need so much extra
room?
This
looks a little bit like the Lumia 1020, that was their 41 megapixel camera in a Windows phone, and it had a fairly hefty bump around the lens.
Huawei likes to build the thinnest possible devices. Like if you look at some of their stuff, big camera bumps like this are always kind of their thing. I think it was more a design decision than anything else to take what is normally a camera bump and kind of extend it across the whole back of the device. Maybe they'll put the bigger components up there and make the phone as thin as possible. But I mean, everything, all phones have camera bumps.
Yeah.
And Huawei, I think, just chose to take theirs and go all the way across it.
Make it a camera stripe instead of a bump. Yeah, you're going to see bumps because to get low light performance in a phone camera, you need more lens elements, and they have so you're and everybody's touting six elements, seven. I think the new Apple phone will have seven elements, so that's necessitates a bump. You just can't put seven layers of plastic in there without some protrusion.
Yeah,
and better to bump that than their whole phone.
Yeah, I think that's an ugly choice, but you know,
I don't know. It's kind of cool. Kind of.
I don't care about phone thickness. I'd rather they make the whole thicker thing all around. And give me more battery.
Exactly.
And, like, this thing looks ugly, but we've seen renders of it before that match this design that used white cutouts on the top and bottom, and it looked way better. It's just the contrasty plastic thing makes it look like a vent or a
like one of those things on a ship for talking to people below deck.
right, you know? Exactly.
Full speed ahead, Gridley. All right. So enough. I don't want to step too much on All About Android toes here. You guys do such a great job every Tuesday evening, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, with our esteemed Jason Howell is the host.
Well, yeah. We actually didn't talk about the Huawei Nexus last night, so this is fine. You didn't step on toes at all. This is the render, actually, I think, or one of the renders, anyways.
That
was
much better.
What you were talking about, Ron.
Doesn't matter. It's all made up.
Yes, exactly. It's all completely unofficial at this point. Yeah. We don't even know if Huawei's actually on board.
Actually, even officially.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be weird if Google used a Chinese company to make Nexus?
They used a Chinese company to make the thing, the router.
Oh, the OnHub?
Oh, yeah, that's right. TP-Link.
TP-Link, sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, everybody uses Chinese companies for everything.
No, Chinese manufacturer, but to actually use a... And isn't Huawei partly owned by the Chinese military? I mean, this is not just some random... Yeah.
This is... Well, it gives me pause.
Huawei is
a massive company. If you go to, like, CES or Mobile World Congress, they have the biggest booth there. And they make everything from, I think, like, satellites to cell phone towers to a million different other products. So it's not just cell phones. But I think the point is that Google wants to take Huawei and say, this is an okay brand and you can, you know... pay attention to this company, and I think they want to elevate them with a Nexus.
Well, and on Huawei's part, they have never been able to get in the U.S. market.
Yeah.
So they would love to get in the U.S. market, right? Yeah. Maybe that's the beginning for them as well. Hmm. Not LG, you think? Not LG won't make this.
Oh, the 6-inch one?
Isn't LG making they're making the Nexus 5.
Yeah, they're making a 5.2-inch device.
So this is a 6-inch device.
They both kind of share a lot in common, but yeah.
Well, 5-something says.
I don't really.
Well, it's all rumors, but sure.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's weird. It's basically like the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus model, but from two completely different manufacturers.
So weird.
And they kind of share a design and a lot of design styles. Like they both have the rear fingerprint sensor. They both have front-facing stereo speakers, kind of similar designs. It'll be interesting.
Google. Well, by the way, Huawei makes cell site equipment that's used in the United States.
Ronald was talking about their big booths at Mobile World Congress. They had bouncers to keep the press out.
Really?
Out, not in. Out. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. They had subway turnstiles at Mobile World Congress, and you had to like NFC badge in.
Yes.
And that was fun.
So when are you getting your Google on Hub, Jeff Jarvis? You got yours from
Walmart lies.
Oh, Walmart lied.
Surprise! So Walmart said expected September 11th. You know, a week later, it's still not shipped or anything. Of course, let me see if I have any. So the first time I've ordered anything from Walmart, all I've gotten is spam.
I don't have tracking information. I got it from.
Thanks for your recent order. You'll love these things too. You know, absolutely jacked from them.
So
nothing.
Google,
no way to track it.
I ordered it from the Google store, and it says October 1st through 5th. But
Ron, that was a mistake. The Google store
is that the worst place to get it? What
store.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh, dude, Google's retail is so out of whack. No, I had an order from Amazon that was going to show up September 2nd, but then Google said they were going to ship me one. So
just call Google customer service.
You should have kept your order. I would have bought it from you, Ron. Google's having an event today in San Francisco, which we were not invited to. Thank you, Google.
Bastards.
Didn't even tell us about it.
Bastards.
And it's the OnHub show-off thing. Does ours have somebody there?
Yes.
Of course they do.
I'm going to get one FedExed over here.
You think Google would know that in fact, broadcast media is as good as blog media, web media.
Blog.
He spat
that. Blog.
That's damn blog. Tech blogs.
Those kids. Get your blog off my front porch.
You know, I had to fight, we had to fight the print media for years. You know, everything was print. You wanted to get into an event. You wanted to get into a PepCom event. You'd have to give them tear sheets of your articles. And I said, I don't do tear sheets. Would you like a video? Would you just go to the website? No, you need to have a tear sheet. I've had the worst time with PepCom getting into their events. Now, it's what's your blog? They're smart. They got smart. No more tear sheets. But now, what's your blog? What's your URL?
All we want to do, Google, is talk about it.
We just want to cover your gosh darn crap.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They know we'll cover it anyway.
Yeah.
What have we learned? Have we learned anything yet, Ron Amadio, about the OnHub that we didn't know?
There's going to be a developer preview in Q3 this year that switches the operating system to Brillo, which is Google's kind of Android-based Internet of Things operating system.
It is a Trojan horse.
So, yeah, that sounds super awesome. Yeah, I was really suspicious of it because you look at the specs, and it's got like a dual-core processor and like a gig of RAM, and I'm like, this is a router, really? But, yeah, it's going to start running Android soon.
Brillo. That's their Internet of Things operating system.
Yeah.
So, and I think everybody kind of knew, especially because it's had support for Zigbee 802.15.4, that this was really a home automation play as much as a Wi-Fi play.
Can anyone explain why Google didn't make this an Amazon Echo? They
sure
need speakers
like
and a microphone, and they can compete with Amazon.
But the speakers, we learned last week, the speakers are extremely low wattage.
Yes.
It has a speaker, but doesn't.
Yeah,
it's not the right kind.
Exactly. The Amazon Echo has beautiful speakers, very rich sound, and once you buy one, you never need to buy another one because they can upgrade it in the cloud.
How much are you guys really using the Echo?
I use my Echo 50 times a day.
Wow.
It's the most useful device
in
the house.
Does your wife make fun of you still?
No, she uses it even more heavily than I do.
She
use it for
does.
Every timer. We use it for the weather. We use it for everything. It's so useful.
We have it in the kitchen. We don't use it that much. I'm thinking I'd put it in the bathroom. That's where a hands-free device would really be handy.
Wait. Yes, yes.
You keep yours in the kitchen?
Kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's great for us because you can say, I won't say her name, but you could say Echo. Listen to Tech News Today on TuneIn, and play.
It just plays the live stream or play any of the shows. You can just say, hey, what's happening? And it'll play BBC News, NPR News, and it'll go into this thing where it has a computer voice reading the news. And it's just like totally hands-free. It's like I'm so confused about how Amazon beat both Apple and Google to the future of home computing. Basically, is what this is. This is the interface of the future.
I think it's a small niche, unfortunately. I mean, I like it too, but I think it's us. Huh?
What do we think of M?
M? Oh, let's take a break. We'll talk about M, the new Facebook Messenger tool.
This is not Dorothy's aunt from.
No, in fact, it stands for Money Penny. Okay. That was the original code name.
And no longer stands for Marshmallow because Marshmallow.
I wish they'd called it Money Penny, but I think that probably isn't right.
Yeah.
But that's who it's, you know, it's a personal assistant in your messenger. And frankly, we have a story about Google Now. Maybe that Google isn't as committed to Google Now as they used to be, which is really depressing.
Yep.
Our show today brought to you by lynda.com, the online learning platform. If you want to learn, and everybody, you're watching this, it's because you want to fill your brain. You want to learn. We all want to learn, expand our horizons, get better jobs, have more fun with our hobbies, just know stuff. Lynda.com is for you, for problem solvers, for the curious, for somebody who wants to make something happen. You want to learn how to code? Lynda.com. Develop your own app on any platform. You want to master Excel or Google Sheets? Lynda.com. Are you a web designer? You want to sharpen your SEO skills? Lynda.com. It's got everything you need to feed your curious mind. If photography is your new bicycle, you're going to love Lynda.com. They've got we've mentioned this before, a new section, a new series with Joseph Lanashke called The DIY Photographer. It's so cool. Joseph is doing like all sorts of crazy stuff to, you know, handmade macro lenses from, you know, common household articles. A light diffuser, a camera stabilizer, really fun. But there's also high-end stuff like Adobe Camera Raw Essential Training, Photoshop Creative Cloud 2015 Essential Training, a great new multi-part series on video for photographers. That's the new thing, right? You're a still photographer, you've got a great digital DSLR, and all of a sudden you're shooting video. We'll do it better with lynda.com. You can watch and learn not only from great teachers, but top experts. They're passionate about the field. They work in the field. You can stream thousands of video courses. Last count, 3,708 on-demand video courses on your schedule. And everybody learns differently. Some people want to do a little bit at a time. Some people want to go beginning to end. You can do whatever you want because it's yours. You have the run of the place for one low monthly fee. Everything is there. even course transcripts. So you could search right into a course and say, how do I do this? Download hundreds, thousands of tutorials and watch them on the go on your Android or iOS device. Lynda, LYNDA.com. Your membership gives you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. It's basically a library. Whether you're looking to become an expert, you're passionate about your hobby, or you just want to learn something new, I want you to go to lynda.com right now. lynda.com/twig. That's our special address because you can sign up there for a free 10-day trial. Lynda, LYNDA.com/twig. 10 days to browse around, see whatever you are in the mood to see. So it's pretty clear there are two areas that all of these companies, including Google, are all in on. One is messaging. Wait a minute. Google's not really all in on messaging.
Hangouts should
kind
be.
Of let Hangouts just drift off. And the other is voice-activated kind of Google Now style stuff. And Google's all – no, they kind of let that one go by the wayside too. What is Google doing these days? So this is the latest stories that many of the Google Now team disappeared.
That's Jeff's next book. What is Google doing?
What the hell's that Google up to? They after
WTF Google.
After Google I.O. and the announcement of Google on Tap, according to the story, all but one of Google Now's original team is gone.
We're gone before I.O., some of them.
And the feeling is that this was something Larry Page really took seriously, but Sundar Pichai less so. Well, that's disappointing to me.
I'm starting to think that I'm just, you know, not enough information still. I'm starting to think that Sundar Pichai is less of an impressive leader for Google than everybody says.
Oh, we don't know yet.
Is he too narrow?
He seemed, I mean, this article was a great article in Recode. And they really talked about his style of leadership. He's kind of like one of these leaders who basically everybody comes to him with a problem and he comes up with a compromise between everybody. He's kind of a weak leader in that sense, where he's more into like handling the politics than being a visionary who says, no, Google Now is the future. We're doing it all the way, which is what Page used to do. Exactly. And so I'm worried about that because that's not the kind of company that Google has been traditionally. They've been more of a, you know, let's go for it kind of a company, not a Microsoft style, oh, these different people are giving me pushback, I better make some compromises kind of a company. So I don't know. That article made me sad.
Mark Bergen, writing in Recode yesterday, says, Now escalated inside Google quickly because it had the backing of Page. He would open up, he's quoting an anonymous Google source, he would open up every single all-hands meeting with Google Now. Then Page started to step away, laying the foundation, as it turns out now, we know, for Alphabet. Meanwhile, Google's core business, search, continued to lose steam as mobile app usage rocketed. At some point last year, Amit Singhal, the SVP who had search, requested that Now be moved from Android into search. Several engineers objected. According to multiple sources, their initial vision of Now as a mobile assistant tailored to particular users works best living on mobile, not within search. But, and this is Pichai making the compromise, he approved Singhal's request. In part, perhaps, because Google must balance all products like Now, which push information to users, with its central business problem, how to make more money from mobile. So in the face of that, now, not that Facebook is the bellwether or the brilliant leader. I mean, they've launched a whole lot of products that have just tanked.
Yeah.
But with Facebook announced, or actually was revealed, that Facebook is doing a beta test. Wired had this story today. Only with a few hundred people in the Bay Area, of something called M, that's part of Messenger.
Yes.
And it's not just Now. I mean, it's humans, too.
That's right. They make a decision about whether something's going to be handled by a machine or by human beings. I think that's one of the brilliant things about this. The other is that essentially you're texting this service. It's not talking and then it's talking back audibly so much as they're ingraining the habit of using Messenger as a texting service. And I think that's brilliant as well. I really like the direction of this. I like the fact that this is actually kind of the type of thing that Google would do, which is that other people are trying to make a product out of this, out of virtual assistants, and they're saying, it's just a feature. It's not a product, it's a feature. And so they're making a feature of Messenger, giving you a reason to download and use Messenger.
In the context of what we've been talking about in past weeks, Jeff, which is that Messenger platforms are the hot new area.
Mm-hmm.
And pointing back to that New York Times article about WeChat, or was it Wired, maybe, about WeChat, which is basically a platform in China for everything you want to
right.
do.
Right. And companies are using... so tired. I've got a brain.
Slack?
Slack. Thank you very much.
I'm reading his mind now, ladies and gentlemen.
That's scary.
They're using Slack now in all kinds of ways for companies, yeah.
Slack does it. HipChat does it. Mm-hmm. WhatsApp, which Facebook owns, kind of is in certain countries huge. Line in Japan is as big as WeChat is in China.
Right.
Here in the States, everybody, it seems to me, everybody uses SMS.
Yeah.
Or if you're on iOS.
Which is really funny because the rest of the world was so far ahead of us on SMS.
We finally caught up
and now they've gone way past it.
Yeah. Well, because SMS can be expensive, right? Here, it's almost everybody pays for unlimited SMS now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's essentially free.
The other paradox here is I think we end up maybe going back to voice and even one-on-one voice communication at some level. That's what M might be. Why?
What I love about all this other personal assistant stuff is it's like Google built this new API into Marshmallow, the assistant API that makes Google Now on Tap work. So you can build this assistant app, and Android has all these hooks in it that it can plug into now. And then at the same time, they built this API to open the door to everyone else. You get this article about how they don't care that much about Google Now. So, they kind of shut down their own solution and threw the door open for everybody else.
And it's also interesting that I think related to this conversation, which is that Microsoft came out with something that's like Now on Tap that doesn't require an API.
Cortana.
Yeah, it works really well, too.
Yeah.
It's
called on
Tap. No, it's not. Yeah, it's not Cortana. It's built into Bing Search, actually.
Yeah,
it's called Snapshot.
So, but you have to use Windows Phone for this?
No, it's on Android.
First on Android.
It's an app.
Yeah, Bing Search app. And, I mean, it works the same way as on Tap, essentially. If you have an article or something on screen, you swipe it over.
Who's going to put Bing Search app on their Android device, really?
Well, Microsoft keeps doing this kind of thing. I mean, they did something that's like Project Tango for the iPhone. It's still in research mode, but looks like Microsoft is really targeting iOS and Android first, and eventually people are going to kind of go, yeah, you know, this Microsoft stuff on Android is actually
pretty good. Needs to be a differentiator, though, right? What's the differentiator?
For starters, you don't need to wait for the developers to build something for it. It works right out of the box. You're delivering most of the promises of Now on Tap. So Google got
nobody will ever know that if they never install it.
Yeah.
You got to get people to install it.
Yeah. It's an uphill battle.
Your Android phone's going to come with Now on Tap.
It comes with Now.
When it does finally launch it.
Yeah. I think that's an uphill battle to get people to put a third-party search. Because I know I have Hound, which is fast and really interesting, and I never use it because I go, okay, Google.
Well, no, it's all built into the iOS.
Right.
Before we leave Facebook, can I do a demo?
Yeah. What do you got?
Live.
I am so mad at you.
If you go to my Facebook page, here we are, 3, 2, 1, we're going to go.
Oh, Jeff
and
Jarvis got it first.
We are live. So now we are live. You think you're so verified.
We were mocking Ricky Gervais because...
And so I don't have a cat. If you go to my Facebook page...
There it is.
You should see it live.
He's
there
already
we are.
Doing
there
it.
We are very live, right? There
Has
we are.
Has it been robust for you?
The first two times I used it today for, frankly, boring things from my panel, my conference... It went out of me in like 30 seconds. And then I did an 8-minute one and it worked fine. So here we are. Here's my setup.
Why do you have post-it notes all over your door?
My computer. Well, my post-it notes say, can you see them or not?
Is this something I was going to...
Well, it'll catch up.
I'm going to start doing soon.
One of them says password equals 123456.
Right, it says be right back in the men's room getting a sandwich.
Oh, I get it. Oh, that's clever. Yeah. So you put it on the other
side
of the door.
This is my setup for my... This is the wonderful studio I have here.
It'll catch up. It's lagging a little bit, but
no, there's like a 15-second delay.
I want this so bad, and now it's Ricky Gervais and Jeff Jarvis. I'm so jealous.
Must have been something you said.
So
it's a nice laptop stand you got there.
And a nice.
Oh my god! This whole time,
I would have thought we got a lot more viewers from
32.
Now, 27 it's going down. I'm sorry. What do I do? Take off my clothes? What should I do
it's
here?
It's going down, Jeff.
Try to be more boring. It works for Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, pet your cat.
I need a cat. I need to imagine there's a cat right here, and I'm walking with bad. I have the same bad teeth Ricky Gervais has. Look, I got fangs.
Webweaver again in the chat room says we have whole sites dedicated to this, apps like Periscope and Meerkat. Why do we think it'll catch on?
Yeah, all of this Facebook stuff, when you're like, it's going to show up on Facebook, I'm always just like, oh, I don't.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
My Facebook is all friends and family.
But here's what happens, Facebook has so much of my attention, my stream attention, right, that when Ricky Gervais comes on, it gives me an alert right then and says, hey, Ricky's on, and I go to it. And so whenever Leo gets on in 6 months and, you know, he's live, then, you know, I can see that. I think that there's some uses. Facebook's advantage is it has your stream attention, has your attention through a stream. Versus Periscope, I never end up looking at anything in Periscope. Never.
Yeah. Now, oddly enough, this has to show up in my news feed, and Facebook controls that, and it may or may not. I'm going to look through it.
It may or may not tell anybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're up 76 viewers, which isn't very many.
Let me see if you're in my. See, you're. I'm your friend.
Follow me, or are you just my friend? Does that make a difference?
I don't know. So is this your page, or is this your personal?
No, this is. I thought that was the problem because my page. I haven't used my page in ages.
Yeah, me neither.
But
so it's your profile.
No, it's my profile.
There it is. So there it is.
There it is.
Yeah. Way down though. You're under Justin Bieber. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we're
doing this live. Hey, and it's like Facebook. 5 posts deep.
Priorities here.
And of course, Google had this 3 years ago. The difference is, as you said, Jeff, the once again, the one and only benefit of Facebook is that everybody's on it. That's the only feature.
So you're saying Hangouts Live was the same thing?
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much better than this, actually, because you could have multiple people if you wanted. You could have one person. It was much less of a lag than this, and it posted immediately on YouTube.
Well,
3 years ago, in May of 2012.
But this will stay on Facebook, right? I mean, one of the things we're learning about Facebook is that native Facebook video, because it starts playing as soon as you get to it, gets much more engagement than a link to a YouTube, right?
Well, no, they just count autoplays as...
Right.
No, I understand, but I think it does get more engagement. I think there's no doubt about it.
Well, when you were scrolling through your list, you passed 4 videos, so that was 4 views that you just...
Yeah, I understand.
Did you enjoy them?
Yeah, I understand, including... including Ricky Gervais, probably. Yeah.
So, by the way, I got this working. I bought an iPod Touch just for the purpose of testing things like Facebook, instant articles, and this. It took me a while. For some reason, it wouldn't work, but it finally started working. My old iPhone 4.
Is that how you're streaming this? Is from an iPhone 4?
iPod Touch.
An iPod Touch?
A little tiny iPod Touch.
Now, see, I've lost it. I don't know where it is. Shira Lazar gets it, too. How come everybody's got it except me? I don't want it anymore.
Hello,
take
Facebook,
it back,
you know who
Facebook.
You are.
I don't
you know
care.
Who you are.
It doesn't
Leo
really
wants
matter.
This.
I don't really care that much.
My theory is
86 viewers.
It's a terrible stream because all they're hearing is me and a lot of silence.
Right.
But my prediction is that when this is open to everybody, then the celebrities will stop using it. And then when they stop using it,
well,
everybody will stop
using that's it. The question. Because I think we talked about this last week. I mean, what this solves right now is the penis problem.
I'm speechless. Do you have a penis problem?
Anything that solves the penis problem, I'm up for.
Yeah.
No, what you mean is the problem of people using this to flash the Facebook screen.
So by having celebrities, then it that limits the content that's there right now.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
I think Ricky Gervais is moments away.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just feel that. He's just moments away from taking off his pants.
Could happen. I can leave this here for the rest of the show.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I really like about the Note 5 and the new S6 Plus is this YouTube live streaming that's built into the camera.
That's so cool.
And I've used it a few times, and it's pretty neat. To me, that it makes more sense, maybe, or maybe not. I don't
YouTube
know.
Live built into, is it just a YouTube app that they just happen
no,
to?
No, it's in the camera app. So if you're in the camera app, one of
in
the
Samsung.
Modes, you have a panorama mode and, you know, a pro mode. One of the modes is live broadcast mode. You tap that button, and I've tied it into my YouTube account. You obviously have to do that. Preparing broadcast. Leo Laporte's live broadcast. I'm now live in public on YouTube with this broadcast right there. So you take your Facebook live feed.
There we go.
And I'm going to rebroadcast it onto YouTube right now.
Is that fair use? Or
how much can we go?
We're crossing the streams now. And then I can do this. I think this is kind of cool. I feel like, for instance, we're having a meetup. Hey, Jeff, can you come to our meetup, by the way, on September?
No, I'm going to be in Europe.
Oh. I'm totally meerkatting this right now.
Oh. So would you hear it? It is the battle of the platforms, I guess.
See, the Samsung thing, though, that should be an app. And I'm sure YouTube will release an app.
Absolutely.
In a few weeks or months or whatever. It's not reason to buy a phone. Which is weird.
Although apparently they have a deal with YouTube. I mean, it's not just like they just built it in. There's some sort of deal going.
Yeah. I'm sure YouTube was involved, but yeah. I don't think they have like an exclusive on the feature or anything. I'm sure it'll roll out to everybody else.
This is the first time I've had a reason to use Meerkat in like 4 months.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of narcissists, frankly. All right.
Hey, who are you calling a narcissist? I was listening to you waiting for you to talk about me.
What a terrible world we live in. And now Donald Trump's going to be president, and that's just, I don't know.
Not if Jorge Ramos has anything to say about it.
You sit down, Jeff. You just sit down.
You had some things to say about that in your blog, buzzmachine.com. You believe that the mainstream media has become a lapdog to the Donald.
I used a different term.
Yeah, but I'm going to use lapdog. You used a stronger term.
Yes, I did. I thought I'd get some crap for using that term. I did a footnote that said it was stronger than laptop. So go look it up on Buzz Machine if you're curious what we're talking about. Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. After Trump's thing in Iowa, CNN was just falling over themselves. Oh, that was really great. What a show. They treated it like show business. But Jorge Ramos, who is an extremely important figure, he is the most important figure in Spanish language
American media. He's the Walter Cronkite of American Spanish language television.
Bingo.
And it's highly unlikely that Donald Trump did not know who he was.
Oh, right? You bet he knows. Oh, don't forget, Donald Trump was supposedly suing Univision for $50 million and for $500 million, I don't know what it is, for dropping him after his comments about Mexicans. And so he knew exactly what he told him, you know, get back to Univision, which is the same as saying get back to Mexico.
He basically deported him out of the press conference.
And then claimed he didn't know who security was. Of course, it's his security.
Just some crap, because he nodded to the security saying.
And then they brought him back in.
And then he just acted like a complete.
But you ask a very interesting question, which is if Jake Tapper had been shoved out of the room for being impertinent to Donald Trump, what would have happened?
Yeah.
And well, I think that would have been a different situation, right?
They all should have left the room. They should have asked the same questions that Ramos was trying to ask. Instead, what happened? The next question, somebody finally gets in, Megyn Kelly and his feud.
Yeah.
We've all become part of Trump's reality
show. You know why?
It's good ratings. We're all schmucks.
It's good ratings.
Yeah, well, that's depressing as hell. That's not the only business we're in journalism.
As long as we're talking about journalism, just a deep condolences to the friends and family and everybody.
Co-workers.
Just a tragic story.
Awful day. You know, let's be clear that journalists die all the time in the rest of the world. They don't usually
die during stand-ups.
They don't die during a simple feature stand-up.
Right. With somebody from the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, it's just awful. And you know, I already gotten some tiffs on Facebook already because having discussions on Twitter, because to my mind, do not name this person. I mean, once they name him once, that's fine. Do not give him the attention. Do not air his stupid manifesto, especially do not air the video he took, for God's sakes, on something like Facebook Live, on Periscope or on YouTube or whatever tool he used to tape the actual crime.
Twitter pulled it down immediately, right?
And to do that, and I got in a big fight with somebody on Twitter. You know, I said you're part of the crime of the next person who does it, and you're only giving that person what they want, and it's only for sensationalism you do it. It doesn't really inform us anymore, and there's a limit, and there are levels of responsibility. And yeah, I was fairly disgusted with what was happening immediately. There's nothing served by serving this maniac's, this murderer's.
So we won't mention his name. He was a disgruntled employee, I
gather. Yeah, two names anyway.
There's one thing that needs to be said that's somewhat positive, which is that Twitter and Facebook both reacted very quickly and very appropriately. In Twitter's case, they kept his profile up and removed all the content from that profile. So they didn't just have this question-raising error message. They basically just had his profile there, but there's no content. So there was no way to sensationalize what he had said or done. But at the same time, you got confirmation that, in fact, this was the Twitter account that was in the news. So that was the right thing to do.
So deepest condolences to friends and family of Allison Parker and Adam Ward. And the good news is that the Chamber of Commerce executive director, who was also shot, is expected to recover. But Vicky Gardner. But it's just very sad.
Well, it's also for, I mean, this was not just somebody going after somebody randomly. It was not just because they were public. It was a disgruntled employee. But, you know, it's just doing the simplest thing in public, and that now potentially draws a magnet of nuts to you. And that's scary for all of us. You know, it's.
Yeah. Well, I don't do stand ups, so I'm not doing it anymore anyway. God, depressing. Eesh. All right. Let's find something else to talk about that's much nicer and has to do with tech and we like. God, it's hard to say.
How about Verizon?
What is Hum? You covered this morning on TNT. Tell me about Hum.
Hum is kind of a cool thing, actually. Basically, what it is it gives you OnStar-like functionality for your old car. Just about any car made in the last 20 years will work with this. And it gives you many of the features of OnStar, which is a very expensive, concierge-like, emergency-oriented GPS specific service, but at a fraction of the price. And
it's interesting, the OBD2 port, which every car has. We've talked a little bit about that. I use it to give me grades as I'm driving. But you could put this connector in that port.
What's your GPA at this point?
I'm doing good. I got 99 because it gives you penalties for stepping on the gas. Fast acceleration. In fact, my watch will beep now if I do fast acceleration. And it also jamming on the brakes is bad. And then, but what's actually most useful is it tells me how much the gas that I spent that I used on that trip. Like that trip cost you 99 cents. And it's when you don't know that, it's very easy to drive around a lot. But as soon as you start seeing, what? That cost me a buck?
I've been driving a Prius since 2004, I think. And I've always contended that the main way that you save gas with a Prius is that it shows you how much gas you're burning. Just the knowledge.
You're aware.
Causes you to ease up on the accelerator.
So this will send you that thing connects to something on your visor.
Yeah, there's something that clips to your visor, and again, it's got GPS and it does all kinds of really cool stuff. It collects data on things like your fuel economy, battery,
sends it right back to
Verizon. All that kind of stuff. But
why
it also
is it
has
Verizon doing this.
Yeah, why no is idea. This a Verizon?
Well, it's another data thing. So it's like you're renting it from them. It has a SIM card. It's basically like
$15 a month.
It's an Internet of Things device. Let's be clear about it. It's there's a marriage of the Internet of Things with mobile data. And it uses a mobile data system. But it costs $15 a month. No upfront.
Will it do calls?
No, it won't do calls. It's not a phone. Sure. But it will track. Like it does things. There's an app, right, that goes on your phone. And it will do things like it'll remind you where your car is, and there's also a place for you to take pictures and add notes about, you know, I'm on level 3 in this part of the parking garage. If you have your car stolen, you can report it stolen. It says, okay, make sure you fill out a police report. Here's what you give to the police, and then here's where it is.
It's mostly about road safety, though. Isn't that why people want OnStar? I had an accident, come get me, or I broke down, come get me.
Yes.
But a normal company would build this and just have it Bluetooth to your phone, and then you wouldn't have another monthly cellular bill. There's really no reason for it to have a cell phone connection when you're bringing a cell phone.
Oh, you're right. You're already paying for that connection.
Yeah.
Verizon says,
I guess.
The difference is that when you get out of your car, you take your phone with you, and this thing keeps GPS with an data connection in the car. So if your car is stolen or if you park your car, then each of you has a GPS and you can find each other. So that's one difference.
You want to throw this out the window if you steal somebody's car, just a little tip.
Yeah, if you're going to steal cars, that's what you do,
Verizon says it will vigorously protect your data, sharing it with third parties only in cases where it's needed to provide
services. When they politely ask.
And it will share data with law enforcement only where authorized and required by law.
Oh, no.
I don't don't really trust
That's
Verizon.
That's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, I don't really trust Verizon.
I don't trust. Well, AT&T would turn out to be a bunch of...
Yeah, I don't trust any of them.
Schmucks. So and Verizon. Verizon. You see the other news on Verizon right below there on the rundown?
Tell us all about it, Mr. Jeff Jarvis, Verizon fan.
You might remember my fight. Niagara Falls.
Slowly step I did. Step.
To try to get my Nexus 7 attached to the Verizon network, as was required by law. And I complained to the FCC, and of course I lost, and good guys lost. Nothing ever happened because the FCC didn't really protect us. That's another matter. Verizon is a bunch of schmucks. Well, now I'm guessing because they're charging you full price for phones, then there's no special deal to be hung with Verizon. Now suddenly Verizon will let you connect your unlocked phones to the Verizon network. Glorioski.
Hmm.
Took them, what, about a year and a half here?
Now, Mike.
They will finally take your money.
Yes. Yes, yes, exactly.
Well, isn't the issue, hasn't it always been that their CDMA, you could only do, this only works now.
No, that's when
now.
they won part of the spectrum. This is, remember the story.
Yeah.
Google was part of that spectrum auction, and Google threw in the requirement for openness that you could have open connectivity. Google then, and they basically did it for that reason to get that in there. Then Google dropped out of the race. Verizon won that spectrum, but attached to it was a requirement of open connectivity that Verizon never honored for GSM 4 spectrum.
So if you have an LTE-capable phone, LTE requires a SIM card, and most of the new Verizon phones I get have a SIM card for mm-hmm. LTE.
Right.
You could put anybody's SIM card in there. They're unlocked because they had to because of a consent decree with the FCC. This is only for CDMA devices that you want to bring to Verizon's network.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Well, they have a site you can go to.
But plenty of devices have CDMA as well as GSM and LTE and all that stuff, especially since CDMA is a big deal in China, too. So,
well, if you got a phone at Sprint, for instance, I mean, so your Sprint phone can work on Verizon, basically.
I might be
misunderstanding.
No, you might be right. I read an earlier version I couldn't find, which just basically said, oh, you hook up your Nexus 7 now.
Well, let's put it this way.
You still can't.
I have a Verizon iPhone. If I pop the SIM out of that, I could put anybody else's SIM card in there, and it works fine.
Yeah.
On AT&T, on T-Mobile, because that's an unlocked SIM slot. And I think all of Verizon's LTE SIM slots are, by law, unlocked. Mm-hmm. So that's not a problem bringing... I would guess it could go the other way if I had an AT&T... Actually, that's an interesting question. But the activation is not done for CDMA, is not done by the simple introduction of a SIM card. Mm-hmm. They have to unlock your phone by sending a signal down the line. So what you do is you enter your device ID to see if your device is compatible, and then and they'll activate it for you
and take your money.
It's kind of kooky. So let's see. Nexus, there's an Android operating system. From your home screen, select menu, settings, about phone status. You need your IMEI, ESN, or MEID number. Have you tried this yet, Jeff?
No, I'm not giving them a penny.
Yeah, it's so funny that this is being trumpeted, because it is. It's just saying, oh, yeah, we'll take your money.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Thank you, Verizon. Yeah.
All I tried to do, I tried and tried and tried to give the schmucks money, and they wouldn't take it.
I just said
the reason I tried so hard was I already had a shared data thing.
Right. Too late.
That reminds me, I'm still paying for my old Chromebook Pixel SIM.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to cancel that.
Now you know why Google didn't do a SIM in the next year.
Mine is still active.
What? Even
from Google I.O. I still have
the
LTE.
One they gave you for free?
I still have free LTE.
Don't tell anyone.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm as amazed as everyone here is.
So we'll talk a little bit about the new interactive Android Wear watches. I got one. I can do it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about IAMAI, which is the most obscure palindrome you'll ever hear. We'll talk about the stock market, up and down, and a new feature in Google Photos all coming up in just a little bit. But first, a word for those of you on pager duty, and those of you who make other people do pager duty. I'm talking about pager duty and operations performance. I love pager duty. Have you seen the T-shirt? Don't hate the pager, hate the game. Pagerduty.com. It's a great site. If you're on call, you know what they're talking about. You want that T-shirt? I'll tell you how you can get it for free in just a second. PagerDuty is, they'd prefer to think of themselves as an operations performance platform. It delivers to you and your boss and everybody in the operation information that not only will, of course, help the people on call get the right, you know, get the right information so they can fix the problem, but also optimize your system so you don't have as many incidents. If you rely on your software and services to always be up, you got to have PagerDuty. It becomes the hub of your operations, connecting all your systems into an easy-to-use, easy-to-see single view. You'll see all the critical events. And we're talking more than 100 ready-to-use integrations. Nagios, New Relic, that's what we use. Keynote, AppDynamics, they have a great API, so it makes it very simple for you to roll your own. You'll decrease your resolution time because when an incident occurs, PagerDuty, it already knows who's on call. It has the on-call schedules. It even has personalized alerting preferences. So it will notify the right team and the right team member first time, right time, every time. And if the alert isn't responded to, it automatically escalates to another team member until it is responded to. It's very smart. Dedupes the alerts so that you they're automatically filtered and deduplicated. So only actionable alerts are delivered and they're not over-delivered. You can dispatch alerts, not just by pagers. You could tell they've been around a while, but really now it's phone calls, SMS, email, push notifications. You can resolve incidents on the go. It's really, the people on pager duty will love this. And the analytic tools, this is what the boss will love. The analytic tools built into pager duty will help you identify common problems so you can make system improvements and prevent future outages. Isn't that what we're all about? PagerDuty is relentless when it comes to reliability, fully distributed across multiple data centers, multiple hosting providers, multiple contact method providers per method. You're not going to miss an alert. And I can't tell you how frustrating it is when something goes wrong or the server goes down and nobody responds to it or nobody even knows it happened. This solves that problem. Customize it to fit how you and your team work, regardless of location or size. This PagerDuty is the one. I mean, Microsoft uses it. Boeing uses it. GitHub uses it. Get the right engineer on the right problem at the right time. PagerDuty.com/twit. You can get a 2-week trial. And for as little as $19 a month, increase your uptime. And you'll be showing your support for Twit. PagerDuty.com. PagerDuty.com/twit. And by the way, when you sign up for your new account, you get the T-shirt. I have one. I should wear it. PagerDuty.com/twit. If your SaaS is on the line, you need PagerDuty. I love that too. Google Photos has introduced a new feature, Recover the Day. It's kind of, has anybody used Time Hop? It's like
yeah.
Time Hop.
Yep.
I like Time Hop.
Yeah.
This one's a little weird because it just picks the day in history and then just picks a bunch of, let me see if I have one. No, I don't. I have had a few. I don't have one right now.
I call this featureization, and Google does it a lot. Basically, another company like TimeHop, another app exists as a product, and Google says, no, it's just a feature.
Right.
And therefore, we're invalidating your category.
Here is August 20th, 2013, 2 years ago. This was Henry was about to go to college for the first time, and he was saying goodbye to us and his friends, and he had a big dinner around the round table at Seared, the local steakhouse. And so these are all the pictures I took and videos too. Not particularly well organized or anything, just kind of montaged all together. Hey, that was your day 2 years ago. Thank you very much, Google. TimeHop does it better, I think. If you want this.
Yeah. So check this out. I don't have mine on. I don't know if we have the overhead on this, but.
I can give you the special doohickey. You want the special doohickey?
Sure.
Here's the special doohickey. Plug that into your machine.
I feel like a special doohickey
on the other side.
Myself. Let me see. Okay, so I'm...
Other side
of the... Yeah. Oh, it's HDMI. Nice.
Do you have a doohickey too, Ron? Everybody should have one. I stuck my doohickey in the wrong way, and now it won't come out.
Yeah.
I can't... So I tried this while we were in a break, and it doesn't fix anything. It goes in.
Oh, really?
I don't want to push
it. If you press it in more, you'll get the clicky thing.
That I don't want, right? Because that could break it off.
No, I try it. I mean,
it's almost all the way in. This is the part where I just let gravity do it. Should I push it past that point?
Sure, yeah. There should be a clicky thing. And
did that fix it?
Yeah, it should. Yeah, mine like kind of started vibrating then. And it should like, you know, vibrate like you're removing the pen.
It clicks. Oh.
Does it start vibrating when you move it in and out? No.
It was still doing that when it was stuck, but now.
Oh. Right, okay. Yeah, so I guess you busted off your thing.
I busted my doohickey. Okay, we are now looking at Mike Elgin's day.
Yeah, there we go. So 2 years ago, I was living in Florence, and this bar was doing a Christmas in August celebration.
But see, it's just a bunch of pictures. I guess that's okay.
So here I am with the Virgin Mary.
Nice. She didn't look like a virgin to me.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, it's I'm not going to say anything. But
she's Italian, it's okay.
But anyway, yeah, it's you're right. It's not as good as Time Hop. Yeah. They're not being selective here. They're just kind of saying, here's a giant pile of pictures from the past.
There are so many nice features in the assistant, but so many of the images I don't really want.
Yeah.
There's Santa. So you had Santa and the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
It was very ecumenical.
I wouldn't say had, but but yeah, it was you know, good bar too, right?
The stories. Do you like stories? Do you use stories?
Yeah, they're best when you go in and find that one picture that just totally doesn't fit and swap it out for a good
yes,
one. You know, you have to tweak
that.
It. Yeah. It's never perfect the way they do it.
Yeah.
But it's a nice feature. It's really well done. They give you the maps and the dotted line that goes across the thing, and now you went to Sausalito.
I do like that.
Yeah. It's
since I'm never going to – I put all my photos in Google Photos because I'm never going to do what I ought to do, which is you know, make an album or –
The thing is, since this isn't part of a social network anymore, when are you supposed to stumble across it?
Right.
Like you have to open the Google Photos app and find it in there?
Right. Yes. Don't you ever do that?
No. Nope. Maybe if I need to do something, if I'm looking for a picture, but I never open it to like browse through
old photos.
Well,
it's not like Plus is dead. Plus is still there.
It's still there. In fact, here's a tip for you, folks. When Google Photos first came out, I was very positive on it, and I've since become more negative on it. The editing tools are clearly superior in Google Plus, and they're still there. So if you go into Google, if you do a Google Plus post, go in to pick a picture, and then you'll have all the editing tools in there. They have things like they have better focusing. You can focus on one part of the picture and blur the rest and control that. So the tools are it's everything that the Google Photo editing tools are plus more refined other options as well. So, yeah, but it's still there.
So there's the Google Plus editing tools, the Google Photos editing tools, and then Snapseed.
This is Google's problem.
They're all separate.
Yes, they do this so often. They create so much confusion about what the product is and where it is.
What they should do is just roll out Snapseed everywhere. Because I think that's still better than Google Plus and free. So they really have no reason to withhold it or lock it into an app.
That's exactly right. That is the best tip. Use Snapseed.
How about this YouTube gaming? Has anybody got the app yet? I haven't gotten it on Android, but supposedly today's the day. The YouTube...
I've had early access.
Oh, you've been writing about it, yeah.
And they had a hands-on thing couple months ago. It's really neat. I mean, it kind of covers all of the stuff that Twitch covers, but it's YouTube and there's way more eyeballs there, and YouTube streaming is way better, and everything works over HTML5. There's DVR capabilities, so you can rewind a live stream, which I would have loved to do on Twitch the other day, or on Twit the other day when I heard about
we used to have that rewind capability.
I'm like, I want to go backwards and see what happened because I missed the first part.
Yeah, used to have that rewind capability, but the new site took it away.
It's cool, but like kind of like Facebook, Twitch is where people are right now. And, you know, the people that watch these video game streams have their favorite streamers. And unless they want to switch platforms, it's going to be tough for...
Right.
YouTube gaming to take off. So I guess what they need to do is like pay attention to those people and try to make the streamers happy so that they'll switch over.
Gaming.youtube.com. And then there are apps for Android and iOS. What the apps, just let you watch video, I presume, not record it.
I don't think they do. I think that's a future feature that they're going to have. They talked about one day streaming, you know, Candy Crush from your phone. And
I think that'd be kind of fun. Watch me play Fallout Shelter. Yeah.
The cool thing about this, though, is that it's not just live streaming. It's all of Google's video or all of YouTube's video content plus live streaming. So they made 25,000 game pages.
Wow.
And they kind of sent their robots to work on YouTube to categorize all of the videos on there by game and by type of content.
Wow.
So, you know, you just go click on like Minecraft and you'll get all the Minecraft live streams and all the Minecraft YouTube videos all on this one page.
I may be wrong, but I think Minecraft is much better represented as it is on YouTube than it is on Twitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Twitch tends to be League of Legends, more hardcore gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And you can star games, which is neat. So it'll kind of it helps with discoverability, I guess, when you say, you know, I like Hearthstone, it'll show you not only, you know, your favorite streamers, but whoever else is playing and popular videos in that category and all sorts of stuff.
Ron, I talked to Jeffrey Grubb on Tech News Today this morning, and I asked him what would stop somebody from using it as just a live streaming, you know, Meerkat clone and having nothing to do with games. And he wasn't sure about the answer. Do you have any idea if they will ban you if you just try to do streams that are not related to gaming content?
No, I mean, YouTube's live stream thing existed before this. So you've been able to do YouTube live streams before, but they were set up as like events. Like you would have to schedule it and have a calendar entry. It was set up like for rock concerts.
Yeah.
Basically. And with the YouTube gaming thing, the streaming part of it is not actually part of YouTube gaming. So is this live? Is this a live video
we're watching?
Yeah, well,
this is an ad.
After an ad, it will be.
No, I mean, okay, so if you go click on the top right and pick like live stream or something, is there an option up there to live stream?
But it says go live.
So you can go
click
live.
That, see what happens.
How do I embed myself in that? It's not using Flash either. So this
must now, you have left YouTube gaming and you're just on regular
live stream.
And it says for any reason, by the way. It doesn't have to be gaming.
Ah.
Right.
So they're going to categorize it at some later date. Maybe they have an algorithm.
There's a special interface for games, but as part of it, they totally revamped live streaming, basically. And anybody can use it, for whatever. It's just a matter of where do these end up when they're not gaming live streams. I'm not really sure because nobody does non-gaming live streams on YouTube.
You get a live URL that you can point people to, but I don't know where it surfaces.
And it's presumably archived under your account, right?
Yeah, it would end up on your. It would probably end up on your channel page,
right?
And not
so
much else.
So if I'm a Let's Play gamer, it doesn't go to my channel page; it goes somewhere else.
No, it goes to your channel page and it goes to YouTube gaming as a under that game
under
category.
Categorized. I get it.
And it goes in that game under the Let's Play category. Which automatically detects and pulls
this
out.
This is almost really a specialized search.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all kind of like dynamic. Yeah,
that's mobile. That's Clash of Clans. So apparently they have mobile play.
Hmm.
Or is this an ad?
No, this is Clash of Clans. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
Weird.
I would really like to figure out how to do this. I want to be the bad gamer. Like the old man gamer. What happens when you? Oh my God! It blew up. I want to be that guy.
See, I think that would be. I think that would be very entertaining.
Stop killing me. So what do I need? I need a camera. You'd think I would know how to do this. I'll have to ask my team.
Yeah, you probably have it in your laptop, right?
Could do it. Well, does. I had heard somewhere that there would be software that would automatically. Cut you out and put you in the game and stuff like that.
Some people do blue screen or green screen backgrounds, which looks really neat.
But I thought that this was something YouTube was going to add.
Leo, you're a streamer. Are you going to put Twit on YouTube Live?
Okay, so don't tell anybody, but we're on Twitch right now because we were on Justin TV, and when Justin TV folded, we're on Twitch. And even though Twitch says it shouldn't, if it's non-gaming content, you shouldn't. But it's been a year. So we're actually thinking, well, maybe we should tell people about this because they don't seem to want to get rid of us. I like it. I don't mind it. I do like the idea that Google is using HTML5 and not Flash. People always say, well, Leo, you're so against Flash. Why are your streams on Flash? Well, because we don't do the streams. Ustream and Bitgravity does. And we actually do pay for a non-Flash stream from Flowsoft for iOS users because there's no other way you could watch it. But and in fact, I can watch it on my Android device if I go to twit.tv/live. That's an HLS stream because there's no Flash on here. I would love to have more options, non-Flash options out there. So, but we did have conversations early on with YouTube Live, and they said, well, if you're going to have commercials, you can't be on YouTube Live.
What? Oh, they want you to use AdSense.
You have to use their commercials.
Great. Yeah.
Not
great.
Your commercials.
Okay. So it's a profit deal.
So it's a profit deal, eh?
Unbelievable.
So in terms of competition with Twitch, Twitch should be scared because every streamer and every viewer on Twitch also uses YouTube. So like streamers already use YouTube to archive streams and all that. So there's definitely the market is definitely there for YouTube to capture. They're already going to the site. They just need to not go back to Twitch. But Twitch has apps on like gaming consoles. Like you can stream directly from a PS4 or Xbox to Twitch, and you can watch on gaming consoles and all that. Where Twitch is only from a PC or some kind of weird box that somebody makes YouTube gaming is only from a PC or some kind of weird box onto YouTube. So they still have a lot of ways to go to get on all of those different gaming platforms out there.
Hmm. So, go ahead, Jeff.
There's no like subscription services or ways to pay streamers money.
Oh, interesting. Yet.
And Twitch has all of that stuff. So the monetization options, you kind of either have to use AdSense or have to go off site and send people to PayPal or something.
So this is live stream from my Note 5.
Wow, streaming live content. You should look into that.
That's an interesting concept. Viewers will be able to seek back up to 4 hours. That's what you were talking about, Ron, while you're streaming. This is kind of neat. Optimized for interaction, low latency, optimized for less viewer buffering. You can actually set the latency. This is pretty nice. Hmm. And then for monetization, you just say, monetize me, baby. Well, I just have to find a game that I'm really bad at. I'm thinking Goat Z, maybe the zombie goat game.
Grand Theft Auto.
I think we should just watch Twit on Twitch.
While we're playing a game.
Yeah.
Mystery Science Theater.
I always wanted to do Twit poker style.
Hmm.
Like the poker TV shows where we're all playing poker and talking about tech.
Huh.
I don't want to see Dvorak play poker.
I feel like he'd be an interesting poker player.
Twip.
Yeah, he would be.
He'd probably turn the table over a few times, but you call that a hand?
Have a couple aces under the table.
No, you'd want somebody who cheated. Tech stocks took a big hit this week. No fault of theirs, but weakness in China. Although Tim Cook called Jim Cramer of Mad Money to reassure him that, in fact, no, the iPhone's selling quite well in China. I guess the feeling was if China's collapsing, then maybe the tech companies will suffer as well. Google was down 4%. I don't know what it's at right now.
So
it's come back.
It's all come back.
It's all come back.
Yeah. Up today. It's largest right. Since 2011. I tweeted my stock market analysis just now.
Oh, what is it? You want to
the analysis was no, never
it's,
mind.
It's a visual. It's a visual.
Oh, it's a visual? All right. Let me go to Twitter.
This is why I don't like covering stock market because it's like, okay, it went way down, then it went way back up, and now it's like,
it's not worth the effort. This is not
everybody panicked and then realized they were done for panicking. And
exactly.
Oh, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. It was very brief.
Yes,
turn up my audio. And here it is, Jeff's response.
Never met.
That was a bad editing job by somebody.
So the real question that's been bandied about this week is whether Tim Cook's email to Jim Cramer was a violation of SEC Fair disclosure regulations.
We talked about that. I know you talked a lot about it on TNT on Tuesday. We talked about it on MacBreak Weekly. The consensus was he didn't give Kramer any information that had not already been published by Apple in their advisories.
But even if it did, what's the difference? What are they going to fine
cares?
Him? Like,
they, well,
you know, move
they
the stock by, you know, how many billions of dollars?
They could. It made a huge difference.
Okay, but how much are they going to fine him? And compared to how much benefit there was for Apple
right.
to for him to do that. Even if there was a, you know, a...
They could put him in jail.
They're not going to do that.
But they could. You know, Martha Stewart went to jail. Why couldn't Tim Cook go to jail for the same thing?
I know Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart's a friend of mine, and Tim Cook is no Martha Stewart.
You know Martha Stewart?
No, I don't. Oh, okay. It's just how the line goes.
I do. Do you know Martha Stewart?
I love that meme that went around a couple of years ago with Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart were cooking together, and it, and the caption was, one of these is a convicted felon.
Yeah, not the one you think. No, they have some pretty big sticks they can wield, but if the SEC feels that it was insider trading. Because Kramer's a journalist and did immediately reported on the Today Show.
He's also an Apple investor.
Well, I understand.
But Cook knew he was telling the public when he told Kramer.
Yeah.
Telling the press is a way to tell the public.
Right. It would be different if he called Jim and said, just on the QT, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you're broadcasting live right now, but don't tell him.
Right.
Kramer also went to him as a reporter, as a journalist.
I'm going to be on the Today Show. What would you like me to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or what would you like me to tell people you're saying?
How did Apple do today? I didn't see.
Oh, I'm sure everybody's back. Who cares?
There's still argument that China is trouble for Apple because that's where their sales growth is coming from.
That's right. Well, but see, yeah.
So Apple is up 5.7%.
There you go.
109.69.
And by the way, when you get these big 4% and 5% moves in companies like Google and Apple, you're talking tens of billions of dollars.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Not that I mean, we always say that, but does it really? I'm just out of curiosity. It's not like somebody made that or lost that, right? I mean, it's like you don't get a check at the end of the week from Google. Google sends you a check saying, or they don't, you know, Larry and Sergey don't get a check saying, hey, here's your $62 billion. It's just the market value, the market cap. We don't invest because, Jeff does, but like like 50 bucks worth. We're not allowed to invest. We don't allow ourselves to invest. And...
I have some stock.
We know how foolish it would be. Meanwhile, in Germany, is taking a picture of food violating the chef's copyright?
I love this.
Which I added back in there today, and mainly because Google Maps is now asking you for your restaurant food photos. But in Germany, they say that if you take a picture of the chef's food, the chef owns the copyright of the vision of the plate. Some are arguing.
Good Lord.
I know. Good Lord. It's another German story. What the hell? You can't make these up. You can't resist them. They're such fun.
For carefully arranged food in a famous restaurant, the cook is regarded as a creator of a work. What if it's not carefully arranged food?
You know what?
But I say
America's got to hit them back. Every time a German takes a picture of a Big Mac or an order of fries.
That's carefully arranged. And it's a famous restaurant.
Yes. Ronald McDonald has that copyrighted.
You have a right to use that food as you will. If you don't want to eat it, you want to take a picture of it, that's your right. You paid for it.
Maybe you just get licensed the food and don't retain the copyright.
That's right. That's the new technology way.
But even if you're like the most insane copyright enforcer, this kind of completely disregards all of that photography stuff that, you know, the photographer should have a right to copyright too. You know, you have composition and lighting.
True.
And all this other stuff. I mean, it's completely insane. But if we're going to be insane, go all the way. And they should have like a joint copyright over the picture or something.
What about modification of the work? What if you take a bite and then it's like.
That's right.
Has anybody seen this Google Map pop-up that says.
No, I haven't either. Yet.
I see you're eating at a restaurant. Take a picture of the food. I don't think we should encourage this.
I think it's more data. To know what the restaurant's like. I like this a lot.
Yeah.
Well, as an obsessive food picture taker of.
Yeah.
I think this is great. But what this is yet, I think this the Google angle here is how bizarre Google's world of food photography, et cetera, is. They got Zagat. They bought that.
Right.
They folded it into Maps. They folded it into Google Plus. They started adding their own stuff to it. Now they don't really pitch it as Zagat. Now they ripped it out of Google Plus. Now it's in Maps and you can upload photos. And nobody knows how to do it, and Plus, when you go to a restaurant's listing or whatever and you see all these photos, it's going to be another problem where, you know, people are going to be gaming it with, like,
I have lots of beautiful. When I eat at a nice restaurant, I take pictures of the food.
Yeah.
Not type food in the search bar.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. You really know how to use this stuff, don't you? You're so good. Look at that. That's a lovely meal.
I took pictures of my herring in Copenhagen last time, in Stockholm.
This is actually a dessert.
Oh.
It's a luscious dessert.
Does the chef know you're posting this?
Jesse's going to sue me.
Yeah.
Because I can tell he put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah.
These little gold plated food.
Oh, I remember when you shot those. Yeah.
Yeah, this is at Madrona Manor. Which
but Leo, you. I remember you took pictures of Wurst in Germany. They're coming after you.
No, I did. You're right. I've posted German Wurst pictures. Can I type Bratwurst in here?
Try it.
Look, here's a food spotting photo.
You can actually type in delicious food, and it will sort the delicious from the
You're lying to me now.
It knows. Google knows everything.
Sausages.
Type in indigestion memories.
Sausages. Let's see. No results for sausages.
Well, type in the city.
It was in Regensburg, I think.
You could do food in city or food in, you know, country or something.
Oh, you can?
Oh.
Yeah.
Food. Let's see.
Food in Germany. Try that.
In Germany. See, this is why Google.
Boom. Nothing.
The right to be forgotten has been taken.
You know what? I wonder.
Well, did you have your location?
Oh, yeah. There it is. That's not in Germany.
You had bacon in Germany?
I don't think so. I don't know where. That's not even my bacon. Some stranger's bacon in my Google feed.
They saved somebody's bacon, but unfortunately they saved it in your.
This is definitely not food. Well, it is a restaurant. I guess that counts.
It looks
kind
German.
Of looks German.
It is German. That, no, that's not Germany.
But this notification pop-up, your normal people aren't going to see it. It's just a test going out to.
Okay.
They're called Google Maps local guides, so like really heavy reviewers.
Oh right, they're like level three. It's like Scientology. You like rise in the levels.
So it's going out to some of these people, and it's just kind of an experiment. And in the notification, like right at the bottom, is a feedback link to say, hey, you know, what do you think of us asking for your pictures? Because you know, it's interesting. Usually, Google just kind of takes the data in the background, and now they just kind of pop up and say, hey, will you please send us this data? But it's interesting because, you know, you take a lot of photos and the assumption is that they all need to be private. And I guess if I take a picture of food, it really doesn't need to be private. So, I mean, if it helps a restaurant review, I guess it's cool. It's interesting, though.
Brian Krebs on security, digging deep into the Ashley Madison hack, noticed that he had received a tweet after he published his exclusive story with a link to the cache of data that had been confidentially shared with him from the hackers. A link no one else knew. He said initially that tweet startled me because I couldn't find any other sites online that were actually linking to the source code cache. He began looking through past tweets of Tadeusz Zsu, found a lot of hacking information, a lot of guys, apparently a very prolific tweeter. He thinks that Zsu might actually have something to do with the Impact team. It's a great story. This is why we love Brian Krebs, not only a great writer on security, but he gets in there, gets down in the trenches, and kind of starts looking at this stuff. So he's put together an interesting story, which I highly recommend reading. Who hacked Ashley Madison? He thinks maybe he might know.
Wow.
Let's take a break, come back. Lots more to talk about with our fine team of experts. Mike Elgin's here from Tech News Tonight.
And today.
And today.
All
day. I'm sorry,
tomorrow.
Tonight.
All day.
Today, tomorrow, forever. Yeah. Ron Amadio from Ars Technica.
Mañana, ayer.
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 Jeff Jarvis from CUNY. Yay. Are you studying Spanish, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
How's that going?
I'm 37 days into the Pimsleur method, and it's really pretty amazing.
Nice. You were reading an article.
Doing an audible.
Yeah,
I got a headline. I get much farther, but yeah, I'm getting it.
It's a start.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's good.
I'm liking it. Estudio Español.
Estudio Español. Are you learning it with the Lisp or not?
No, without.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Latin American Spanish.
Let's take a break and talk about JustWorks.com. If you run a business or you work in the HR department about the business, you know how hard it is to manage all of that payroll and human resources and benefits. Wouldn't you like a little help? Well, I've got a suggestion for you. JustWorks. JustWorks helps businesses take care of their benefits, their payroll, their HR, so you can focus on the reason you started the business. You don't want to deal with paperwork. With JustWorks, you're equipped to take care of your team. They've got great software. It's one of the reasons people love JustWorks. The software is so elegant. It makes it easy to automate payroll, to do compliance, to grow your business, not your busy work. The average setup time, if you go to JustWorks.com right now, just 3 minutes. Casper uses it. A lot of the companies that we talk about, the cutting-edge startups, Imprint, Reboot. So what are you waiting for? Go to JustWorks.com and request a demo or sign up. Find out how you can offer your team the benefits they want at prices you can afford. JustWorks.com. Use the offer code TWIG at checkout. You'll get 15% off your first year of services. That's nice. That's nice. JustWorks.com. Offer code TWIG. And we thank them so much for their support of This Week in Google. So was it last week during the show that I started getting the Android Wear download? When did I get it? Maybe it was during TWIT. People were talking about the new Android Wear 1.3. I have the LG, what do they call this? The Grande?
G-Watch R.
No, this is not
the Watcher or the Urbane?
This is the Urbane.
Yeah, there you go.
So I could show you the Bits watch face, which was, I think, the first one. Jason, you're going to have to help me out here. This is interactive, which means now you can tap the watch face. So I have two, like, here's the watch face. Tap it, and it will grow into a clock. But I can tap the missed messages, and it will grow into a bigger thing. I don't
have the update. So I'm actually watching you do it and learning from what you're doing. But how do you do, is it possible to do the tap, like the normal action of tapping the watch face and having that pull up the menu, or do you have to swipe for the menu now?
Yeah, well, this watch face is dopey. So, but there are third-party watch faces coming that do some of this stuff. For instance, I really like this. This is a weather face, and it's already interactive. It's a little bright. It's hard to see. But I have the time here. If I tap that, nothing happens. So that's really cool. If I tap the weather, then I get a full weather forecast. You can't really see this very well, can you?
You can get the picture.
But you get
the
picture.
Stupid about it is it tells me that I have 12,000 email messages.
Well, yeah, you don't want that, but that's because that's a dumb... So it could be done better. So when I tap the time here, I actually get my agenda, and there's my calendar, and I can scroll through it. So the idea is, and this is, believe it or not, Apple Watch fans are saying, what are you talking about? What? This has never been available in the past. This idea of being able to use the watch face as a call to something else. So
yeah,
interactive.
I think Android Wear's biggest problem has been that Google's been the only company that's been able to touch the user interface. And yeah, they made the watch face just like you click it and the voice command thing comes up or the menu pops up.
Right.
And this is the first time, yeah, that developers have been able to add buttons and make different things happen depending on where you touch.
I'm sure there are more interactive faces coming out all the time. The first one you get is part of the Android Wear app is that silly Bits thing. But I actually like this is called weather face or something like that. And you mentioned the LG Watch R. If you do have that first LG Watch, the first round one, it weirdly added Wi-Fi support. Apparently, Wi-Fi support wasn't in there initially. So just like the Moto 360, it's kind of the radio was in there, but nobody knew about it. This is called Weather Time.
I like Weather Face better.
I like Weather Face better, don't you?
Yeah. I've been called worse. Really.
And you see, it has now interaction settings. So I can enable interactions. I can have a weather icon, calendar icon, date icon. So you can't do a whole lot with it. But this came out right away. So I imagine there'll be soon more interactive faces.
Does this erode your skepticism about the category?
Not in the least. I think the category,
Does it make it worse?
No.
Because it's more complex and more
confusing? No, this isn't bad. I mean, the Apple Watch is really, in my opinion, just crazy complex. They've got two buttons, force touch. Different things do different things. It's just, it's an attempt to take a really tiny device and make it useful.
Right.
And that's the same thing with this. I just feel wearables. I love the idea of wearables. I've never seen an execution of wearables from Google Glass to smartwatches that makes much sense. When I said that, I get a lot of people who email me saying, like Jorge, who's in our audience right now, who said, but it's the best fitness watch I ever had. Yeah, there are some uses, certainly use cases. A friend is a nurse. She's on her feet a lot. She can't pull her phone out at the hospital, but she can always check her watch. So for those people, smartwatches maybe make some sense. I'm excited about smart hearing aids.
Yeah, me too. Hearables.
What?
The hearable market, I said.
I feel like that actually might have some legs. But again, I'm not saying that they won't at some point. But right now, if you're sitting on the sideline saying, should I get a wearable? I'd say no.
Unless you have money burning a hole in your pocket, and you don't know what to do with it. I mean, the notifications are nice. The ability to do texting and messaging with people from your wrist is nice. A couple of other things are nice. It's not a mind blower. It's not like
I feel like I get all that from my phone.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why I need a second device to do all that.
It just Would you stop wearing a
I don't wear it. I'm wearing it today because I wanted to show you the interaction.
Oh.
I don't wear. I have my bedside table. I have an Apple Watch and an Android Wear watch just sitting there, charging in case I need them. Because I wear the Apple Watch for iOS today, because we talk about iOS devices, and I wear the Android Wear watch when I want to show something. But truthfully,
I think the future of wearables is multiple wearables. So if you have something built into your glasses and a wristwatch and a hearable device, you'll be the computer. You know, at some point, you'll have a PAN, personal area network, and stuff. But you mentioned hearables, Doppler Labs Hear Active Listening System, which I'm sure we've talked about on various shows. This is an interesting new category because it combines multiple features. One of them is for you to be able to custom tailor what you hear. So this the Doppler itself has a reduce baby button.
Right.
So you're on an airplane, baby's screaming, you can push a button and the baby goes away.
I have a friend whose watch ties to his iPhone. He can have it geolocates, so when he walks into a certain kind of restaurant, it changes the equalization.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to the audiologist tomorrow. I'm hoping that I need hearing aids because
Yes.
There's a couple of companies. Starkey is another company that's really on the cutting edge of this stuff. Some of these, it's easy for a hearing aid to measure your heart rate.
Yeah.
But they may be able to do a lot more. I mean, again, this is all, early days. This is was a Kickstarter, the Braggy Dash. This isn't a hearing aid. These are Bluetooth speakers. Although, in my opinion, there's a fine line between them, right? Yeah. One of the reasons I wouldn't mind wearing hearing aids today is because I could use them as headphones during the radio show. I could use them to listen to music. This is a whole
new
game.
There's no question in my mind that hearing aids are about to become obsolete because the difference between a hearable device that's customizable for a 22-year-old is the same device that somebody who's 90 is going to need as a replacement for their hearing aid.
Right.
One of these devices is called the SoundHawk Smart Listening System, and it actually comes with a separate microphone. You can put the microphone anywhere.
Right.
You can put it up on the stage and then go back and take your seat, and you'll have the best audio experience of anybody in the building.
Right.
And this...
I think that's great.
I think it's great, too. And the other thing, if I can introduce a new word into the world of geek lingo, the word is disappearable. So I think we're on the verge of having a category of disappearables where you can't tell somebody's hat.
And that's why I want it. Yeah. I don't need something on my wrist or on my glasses.
Yeah.
And I don't need a user interface because these things are too small to really have a good user interface. Right. I want something that Dr. Mom says anything in your ear can measure heart rate, body temperature, blood oxygen levels.
Yes.
My problem is it won't stay in my damned ear.
Well, these are molded.
They have,
so that's why I'm going to the audiologist. They're going to make molds.
And they have surgical screws that will go right into
and
your
And they screw right into your skull. Bone. Nice.
So look into that.
Nice. Well,
so my headset just...
What? There's no room for battery in those. Like any kind of Bluetooth headphones you get have like a big plastic chunk somewhere usually.
Not anymore. These Braggies, the battery's in the Braggy. And I agree with you. That's one of the issues that has to be solved.
They're going to last like 2 hours.
And this takes advantage of a new Bluetooth profile. And it takes advantage of the fact that you have a fairly powerful computer in your pocket.
It has a touchpad on the hearing device.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. So it's like person of interest. You touch your ear and like you.
The problem is, so every time I can't get it in, and I try to push it into the ear, of course that disconnects the call.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Pisses me off every damn time. Well, so just broke.
I
you have any recommendations?
I am clear that this is early as the watch is, right. As early as Google Glass was.
Yeah.
But I feel like, but I do feel like wearables, and maybe multiple wearables. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of invisible wearables.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to look like that guy with that guy.
Here's the killer feature.
Right.
Here's the killer feature for this category. Essentially what they do is they record digitally what you hear, run it through a signal processor, and then spit it out almost instantaneously, whispering right. it into your ear.
Imagine Google Translate built into this.
Google Translate and Google Now, Siri, et cetera. But here's the killer feature. You can TiVo things. Somebody said something. You didn't quite catch it. You can rewind it.
What? Eh? And that'll rewind it.
Exactly.
Oh, my father needs that.
Eh?
Yeah.
No, I need it all the time.
Does it have a microphone,
Broggy? No, this doesn't. These are basically Bluetooth headphones. A company called Starkey is apparently doing some work in this area. They're a very well-known hearing aid company. But they are doing some very interesting wearable stuff, too. I would imagine that any forward-thinking hearing aid company mm-hmm. yeah. is going to be looking at what capabilities could be.
Yeah.
And it just makes sense that this is in your... Anyway, I'm gonna see what I can get. It's not that I'm completely deaf. But I definitely have some hearing loss.
Does having to wear these things your entire career, does that have an impact on your hearing?
Yeah, effect? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But it's mostly like anybody my age and your age, the high end is gone, yeah. right?
So my phone, a little more mundane, my phone headset broke. Any recommendations? You hated that Motorola thing. I returned the Motorola thing unopened.
The hint. Well, I didn't hate it, but it didn't live up to its promise.
Right.
We always liked the Plantronics. Jawbone has always made some great stuff. Who else do I... I can't remember. It's been a while. Nobody wears. I use wired because the wireless. It's always been problems, right?
Yeah.
I use wired headphones.
Well, you probably in your car use the car. See, I don't have an old
and
car,
I use the
so
car.
I don't Bluetooth.
But you could use wired headphones and put in one ear.
Another wire. Believe me, I got so many wires.
And then the microphone instead, just like I wouldn't use the Apple ones. I use Edimotics. But the microphone's right there instead of up here, which is not a great place to put the microphone up by your ear. It's down on your chest. Disappearables.
I'll take a picture of my car.
Register it quick.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Disappearables. It's a little too many syllables.
Yeah.
Appearables. Invisibles. I like wired. I bet you a lot of people who used to use Bluetooth are going, let's just use the wired.
So you saw a little bit of news in the rundown at the bottom there is that StumbleUpon.
I thought they went out of business.
Nope, they got taken over by a co-founder.
Oh.
By Garrett, and he's returning and he's going to fix it.
Good, because that was that's one of those things that was a classic in its day.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2001... Garrett founded it.
Yeah, Garrett Campbell.
So this was up since we went on the air.
It was a product I was excited about, one that helped people find content. But boy, the years left StumbleUpon behind.
Yeah.
I wonder what StumbleUpon could be today. Does anybody still...
We still get a good amount of traffic from StumbleUpon.
Do you really?
Yeah.
They're one of these things that's operating in the background. And they've always been a big, solid... driver of traffic.
By the way, Garrick has some money. He was a co-founder of Uber. So he left StumbleUpon, created Uber. And
I will tell you this. The StumbleUpon traffic is down 50% from last year.
Oh.
Good job, StumbleUpon.
Nice job.
But still, you don't want to unplug that.
Yeah.
I had to put this in, Jeff, just for your benefit. TV channel guide from the future, Rex...
Yes, this is
cool. Gats. What television will look like in 5 years. The channels are Vice, which has Vice, Vice News, Vice, Vice News, Planet Vice, 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 Vice. Live from Williamsburg. Vox, Explained, Peace in the Middle East for Dummies. Explained, what was Wikipedia? Explained, this infographic will make you invincible. BuzzFeed, hashtag squad, quiz, what Taylor Swift friend are you? The dress is? Give me the game show hosted by Zabe Frank. Blue or black? 30 things all Bhutanese American millennials know. Then there's the Eater channel, EATR. You've got Momo FOMO, David Chang's amazing new food invention that you fear missing out on. Momo FOMO, next. Bourdain, off the wagon. This week, Anthony Bourdain shoots smack in Tehran. This sounds dirty. It's not. Glory Hole with Danny Meyer. Is that a Shaq burger or pulled pork in your mouth? I'll leave that to your imagination. Iron Chef, Guy Fieri versus Paula Deen in Battle Rat. New York Times, tweeting, snapping, gramming. CSI Sullivan, three's enough. A Styles Trend Report with Alex Williams. Hate Watch, starring Alessandra. This is just too insider, but it's really fun. And YouTube, of course, has an eight-hour block, America's Funniest Home Videos Awards, and then Vivo After Dark. Uber? They just show taxi reruns all day long. this may be what TV looks like going ahead, including HBO with Sesame Street Tribeca, Sesame Street Hamptons, and True Detective Levittown. I don't know. It's too inside, but I love it.
It's good. It's really, it's really well done.
It's very well done. That's Rex Sorgatz. We're just going through a couple of really quick. This is kind of sad. Rovio is firing 260 more people.
You know, whoever thinks that a game company is going to be magic forever. I mean, I was jealous. Those guys were great. They were wonderful. Their sweatshirts were amazing. They were smart, but it's a game. Same thing for, I need the earpiece to tell me what's going on here. What the, Zynga.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. One hit wonders. Yeah. OMG Pop. Yeah. Remember them?
Yeah.
Just one hit wonders. But, gosh, I thought Rovio might make it because everywhere you walk in New York City, you see Angry Birds hats. Yeah. But, of course, they're not paying license fees, are they? Sad. They had 800 employees. They've now fired 370 of them since.
800 employees for Angry Birds.
That's probably, I know. Okay. Isn't that phenomenal?
That's probably the source of the problem. The end for Angry Birds.
Now they're really angry.
Now they're really mad. Those piggies, we're going to get them. Off. Amazon's Fire TV outsold Apple TV in 2014. That doesn't even seem possible.
No, it doesn't. Plus, we never know what Amazon sells of anything. How do we know that? Amazon never reveals a thing.
This is from 9 to 5 Mac. This is from Parks Associates.
But this is one of those things where everybody who wanted an Apple TV got one.
And then they never changed it. It hasn't been changed in years.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It's a time thing, yeah.
Roku's number one.
Yeah, and Amazon can shove the fire in everyone's face when they go to buy whatever on Amazon.
Right. If you were to look at actual usage, the Apple TV would blow away.
Fire problem TVs. With Apple TV is it's the Apple ecosystem. I want Amazon and yes. I want Google. Yeah. I wish one device would do all of those. There is none.
Right.
Apple's the only device that does iTunes.
But barring that, I'll take the Google one because that's going to be the most open one.
We mentioned SmartThings is coming to the Echo. That's good news. That means you'll be able to control your home by talking to it.
Yep. You know, Alexa can hear me all the way from the bedroom on the other side of the house. I just yell
down
the
hall. When Alexa's playing loud music, though, can it hear you?
Yes, it can hear you. You can talk to it. You can raise and lower the volume by talking. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it'll be blasting loud music, and I'll just say, you know, Alexa, give me a 5-minute timer, and I just set off a whole bunch of timers for everybody who's got Alexa. Sorry.
Yeah, we don't say that word.
Yeah, no, we don't say the A word.
You know, Dvorak spammed everybody on Twitter. Yeah. He kept saying all the words.
Yeah.
And yelling things.
Yeah.
Like, Echo, erase all files.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Fortunately, that's not a real thing.
Fortunately.
You guys are selling me on this Amazon Echo thing.
You should get one.
And everybody can now, right?
They're cheap, too.
They're more expensive than when we bought them. They're worth $150.
But it's really...
Can I get a second one now?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that was Kevin's one of the problems. Of them, you could only get one. You have two?
Kevin does. My son Kevin has two.
I want to have one in the bathroom now.
Yeah, because two in the bathroom. they can talk to each other.
What I really
so
want.
So you're so lazy, rather than taking a magazine in to read, you'll have it read to you.
You know what you say? You say, Echo, give me my news. Yeah. And it gives you a news brief.
Yeah.
And you customize it, of course, as to the news sources you want.
Yeah.
It's 180 bucks now. Say again?
Has it made any funny mistakes?
Sometimes it just doesn't know what's going on.
Or sometimes it just talks as if somebody talked to it.
It's not that great. But, if you cook, if you do a lot of cooking, your hands, I got my hands in dough or making cheese or whatever. You need timers. You need this, information, how many tablespoons in a cheese? Ton.
You're making cheese?
Yeah, we're making cheese. Making cheese. I saw
your wife was making butter earlier.
Yeah, butter, cheese, yogurt, you name it. If it comes out of a cow.
You can buy it now. You can just go to the store.
the stuff we make is so much better than what you can
actually
buy.
Actually, homemade butter would be awesome.
It is awesome.
You know what Amira does? It's really smart. She doesn't just take cream, which I could do. Anybody can do. Take heavy cream and whip it past the whipped cream stage to the butter stage. She cultures it. She lets it rot for a while.
She lets it rot. She ferments it, and it's even more delicious.
Why aren't you opening a restaurant?
I know. You should see. You're not following Amira Elgin on Instagram, best food pictures ever.
What's my motivation, Jeff? There is a restaurant, and I'm the only customer.
He's the only customer. He gets a seat every time.
We live on a farm, and we now sort of have this... We get milk. We milk the cow every other day, and we get all the milk from that. So we get a gallon and a half of milk.
Wait, you have your own cow?
The farmers that
did you trade magic the farm beans that we for live it? On.
Magic beans, yes, and yes, it's a giant opportunity.
What happens on the other day, Mike?
The farmers get the milk for their.
So every other day you get the milk?
Every other day we get
how much milk is it?
A gallon and a half every other day.
More than you want.
That's why we're making so much cheese. Anything that reduces the volume
with a gallon and a half cheese. Oh my God!
I'm telling you, it's a problem. It's like
bring some in.
Yeah. Well, all right.
You don't pasteurize
it. If you opened a restaurant, then you wouldn't have that problem.
I told Lisa we'd bring in some butter, so we're going to do that. So,
I can only imagine how that tastes.
What about having an echo on the table there?
Here?
Yeah, there, just asking questions of it.
Well, we did a review of it on Before
We Did.
You
we did.
No, I mean, I don't mean that. I mean, just as a fixture, these when we want to know something, we forget something. Can you ask? Just ask Echo.
It's not that good, is it?
It depends on what. For pedestrian things, it's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
For any sort of exotic thing that's like, throw out a curveball. But again, it's software upgradable. Over time, I think it'll be really good.
It upgrades itself, right?
It does.
You don't even know it's upgraded.
In fact, we noticed an upgrade for it because what we did was we set a timer, then we set another timer, and then set another timer, and it'll keep all three timers. And then you say cancel the timer, it'll cancel. It used to cancel all of them. Now it says, which timer would you like to cancel? The 10-minute one, the 15-minute one? So, like in a period of a couple of weeks after we started complaining, maybe it was listening to our complaints, but it upgraded. So little by little, they're upgrading it. But again, the thing that's great about this is not the technology. It's the fact that it's an appliance with a high-quality microphone and a high-quality speaker that lets you do stuff hands-free, and the psychology of it is what's good about it, and that's it. It's not the technology. It's not life-changing. It's the psychology of talking to the room and making things happen that's so great and so surprising that Apple and Google didn't do this first.
Samsung SmartThings, a sponsor, is also integrated now with Alexa. See, now what I'm really interested in is talking to my SmartThings stuff. Well,
my son Kevin has it integrated with his lighting system. So he walks in and says, Alexa, turn
blue
the lights or, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
We say Echo here because... If you say Alexa, Dr. Mom gets really upset.
Sorry, Dr. Mom.
I gather, this has been a little bit, I don't know how sensitive this is or not, but SmartThings is taking pre-orders for a new hub, and I don't know what that means or what it's capabilities.
The second generation one?
Yeah.
They showed that off at CES, I think.
Did they? Okay, so it's not a secret.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the delay has been, though, because, I mean, CES was almost, was what, 8 months ago?
They had just been acquired by Samsung.
Right, yeah, Samsung bought
So them. I'm willing to guess that's what the delay was.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll send me a hub because they are still a sponsor, but contains Zigbee and Z-Wave radios. So I think that's really interesting. It's the same thing Google, I think, the Google strategy. Although Google does not support Z-Wave, which I think is a little weird.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They have Zigbee and their own stuff, Weave, and I'm not even going to get into all the IoT protocols, but there's a couple in there, yeah.
Right. All right, time for our picks of the week before we wrap things up. Who wants to start? I'll start with you because you're our guest, Ron Amadio.
So my thing is, it's the Android Developers Backstage podcast. So this is a podcast done by people at Google that work on Android. It's usually Chet Haas and Tor Norby who write, all sorts of code for Android, and they kind of just wander around Google and pick somebody from some part of Android and ask them, what they're building and kind of go over stuff. And it's super, super technical and geeky and stuff like that. And, you know, they talk about the Android framework and all that. But I've got a ton of information from it. I will source data from it for reviews there was one where they talked to somebody from Android Auto, and there was just tons of information about how the car to phone protocol works and all this other stuff. So it's a really cool podcast.
It is at androidbackstage.blogspot.com.
Yep, Blogspot. They're going all in on that Google ecosystem.
What is the future of Blogspot? I mean, this has just kind of been left to hang.
What was the social network? Orkut? How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, Orkut's gone.
Yeah.
Right. It's just going to sit there and rot.
I feel like Google has so many treasures. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah. FeedBurner.
Yeah, FeedBurner, we all thought was going to go away, never did.
I think they forgot it was there. If they remembered it was there, they would cancel it.
They would have killed it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I like Blogspot. I mean, there seems like there's somewhere you can go with that.
Yep.
But maybe not. Why don't you do one, and then we'll get your number of the week. But why don't you do one first, Mike Elkin?
Okay, so I'm a big hater of Facebook, and especially its design, and that's one of the things I like.
Oh, it's so ugly.
It's so ugly, and it feels
hater,
like dated.
That's a strong word.
Yeah, that's why I use it. It's
no, I think you're not alone. I think everybody uses it and everybody hates it.
Yeah. So there is a Chrome extension that goes a long way toward fixing the design. It's called Facebook Flat. And if you search the Chrome store, the web store for Facebook Flat, you'll find it. And basically what it does is it gives you a toggle to toggle on. I should have plugged in here, but
I'll do it real quick.
Yeah. It gives you a toggle to go back and forth between the old and busted looking Facebook and the new, cleaner, more modern, flat look for Facebook. It gets rid of some of the extraneous links and details and visual noise, and gives you something that looks a lot more pleasant and easier to look at.
By the way, this is not hard or bad to do because it's just really applying new CSS.
Yeah, and again, it gives you a switch in the upper left-hand corner that lets you toggle back and forth. So anytime you want to look at the original thing, you just throw that switch and you're back instantly to the ugly design. But we all have to use Facebook, I think we can all admit. It's not friendly. It's not anything other than the fact that the single place where everybody is. And so this helps, and I'm enjoying it.
Nice.
Facebook Flat. And so I see your...
Where is it? Oh, it's flat.
It's there. It is.
Oh, it's flat.
So the switch is in the upper left-hand corner.
Holy crap!
If you want to compare it,
I was looking for an interface. It just does it.
Yeah.
So what did it flatten?
Go to the upper left corner, there's a switch. You can see the difference.
How it looks.
Yeah, right there. Boom.
Oh, and that's the ugly Facebook.
That's the ugly Facebook that we know.
Oh, this by the way takes out
Facebook
ads.
Still looks like
it takes out ads, and it speeds up the performance as well.
It sure is fast. Hey, I wonder
how. It's amazing how many employees Facebook has and how little Facebook changes.
They still like that blue. Let me see if I can see how Jeff Jarvis's stream looks.
Yeah. We're going to flatten your stream.
On the flat stream. Professor.
I did stop it a while ago.
Oh. Well, never mind.
How about Ricky Gervais? Is he?
It's there, though.
Yeah. Nice.
Doesn't that look better?
That looks better. Yeah. Facebook.
And by the way, Square Video.
Yeah. Well, you know why? So that people won't bitch at you because you're doing
it
in portrait.
Exactly. This whole time of the widescreen was a temporary aberration in life.
16:9 is dead. It's all 4x4.
Dead, we tell you.
One by one.
I mostly take square photos these days because who knows, you know?
You don't know where it's going. Yeah. I think it's time for a number of the week for Mr. Jarvis, Dr. Jarvis.
Business Insider did one of those basically meaningless roundups from Glassdoor of what people make at Facebook. And the long and the short of it is, a dozen jobs, and they all have at least 10 reviews per job title. What amazed me is it's not as high as I would have thought. They all are low six, very, very low six figures, 110 to 150, thereabouts.
You know, really?
Good money. It's fine. But I just would have thought there might have been some kind of spike there somewhere in Facebook. But
well, these this can't
these be. Are the folks who fill these out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that there are people who don't fill it out because they don't want you to know how much they're making.
And this is salary, not bonus, not stock, not everything else. Yeah. So I don't know how what it makes me wonder is how what is the mix in Silicon Valley salaries these days for companies that have stock that's still going up, but, you know, more mature than it was. I wonder
not
where
to knock it. I mean, $100,000.
Oh, I believe me, I'm not knocking it a bit.
It's a good pay, but I don't know. For some reason, we got the impression it was much higher.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it does kind of bring it back to reality. Is that these are good jobs? They're well-paying jobs. They're fun jobs. They work you hard, and the salaries are good. But if we had some idea that they were all stratospheric, that everybody at Facebook makes gazillions of dollars, no, they're still jobs.
And it comes with all the Fruit Loops you can eat.
Yeah.
Can you even buy a house in the San Francisco, California?
No. Not if you make no. And your wife
you can't
have
find
to
a parking space
both make 100.
Even then, if you had, I've seen shacks in the valley that are going for $3-4 million, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So this so that's kind of surprising. They must be bonuses that they're not talking.
Oh, there certainly are. Certainly are. Yeah, but all the only reason I didn't find a very good number. I was doing my conference.
You're better off being a database engineer than you are being a designer, for instance. Database engineer, 141,000. Not bad. Technical program manager, 146. Product manager, 147. Software engineer grade 5, 157. But that's 8 to 10 years of experience. Senior software engineer. Now, you know what? These are now getting more like what I'd expect, 160.
Yeah.
Engineering manager, 166. You might be able to rent a room in a ranch-style house
that's
Campbell
exactly
for that
thing. Where does that go?
I don't know why the housing costs are so high.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. I have a number of different things I can pick, but I think I'm going to show this one. This is called uBlock Origin. And I found out about it yesterday on Security Now, and Steve Gibson is going to do an entire show on it next week. We've talked about ad blockers. We've talked about plug-in blockers. This one is the simplest, cleanest I've ever seen. It has a big – it's a Chrome extension. And it came from an email we got where the guy said, instead of Chrome OS and all this, when I have my clients, they need to be safe. It's really simple. Macintosh, running Google Chrome – running uBlock Origin. That big on-off switch will change how... Let's go to what's a site that's just really loaded with commercials and... How about The Verge here? Now, I've got uBlock Origin. Let's turn off uBlock Origin and refresh this page just to see what it looks like. Maybe The Verge isn't as good an example as it used to be. This isn't too bad.
The front page isn't too bad.
It's I hate to pick out any of our friends. Lately, I haven't been able to use Android Central on my mobile because it's just got so much. But this doesn't look that bad. But you turn it on, and it just blocks. Oh, it's on. That's why. It blocks. It shows you how many requests have been blocked to third-party sites. Domains are connected. It has a very advanced mode. Not recommended. But it's pretty impressive and very simple. And, I tell you, when it's on, and I've been using it, for a couple of days, and I haven't even really noticed. When it's on, it speeds up the load of pages like nobody's business. And by the way, I don't know if it was Facebook Flat or uBlock Origin but it was blocking those ads on Facebook. It might well have been. Now, ad blocking is controversial because, as Renee Ritchie has pointed out at iMore.com, that's what pays for all this great content we get from this site.
Yeah.
On the other hand, as others have pointed out, you may have 100 megabytes worth of downloads from a front page that takes several minutes.
Yeah.
So we'll have more on this on next Wednesday or Tuesday on Security Now. But, this was a simple and fast install. And I'm not encouraging people to do ad blocking by any means because it blocks our ads.
Thank you for that.
Yes. I know how you feel about it. And me too. But unfortunately, it's not merely that ads are annoying. There's a security impact with a lot of these ads now.
And a performance.
And a big performance hit. So, you know what? We got to do more Google contributor style stuff. We got to find ways to make journalism pay because I don't want to block ads. But I have to admit, Jeff, and you probably agree, how often do we click on those ads? Are those ads really worth anything anyway? Right?
That's I think we have to reinvent advertising. Yes, different thing. But in the meantime, this is how we're making money. This is how we're going to support media.
Yeah. I've had this. Yeah, Steve and I go back and forth on this because, yeah. And I've never blocked ads before. But I have to say it. It does speed things up an awful lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, I've in the past recommended Privacy Badger, another great tool from the EFF. This one's interesting. You block Origin. We'll do a whole bit on it. And I think the debate has to continue about how we support online sites without having them weigh us down.
I think I'm the biggest fan of advertising. And
because you say it's
ethically superior form of monetization because it's democratizing. It's basically makes things free for people who couldn't pay a subscription or whatever. So I like it for that reason. But the real thing is these companies need to deliver on the promise of contextual advertising. They harvest all the data and been doing it for a long time. And everybody complains about the data harvesting, but nobody complains about the fact that we don't get much for it. The ads aren't particularly contextual. They're not particularly relevant or specific to our needs.
And they're annoying as hell.
And that's the solution. If the advertisement was so dead on about what you want and giving you what you want, everybody would love it. But that's not the case.
So I mention this as a public service to many of our viewers who do block ads. We do have that conversation regularly on this show and others about the consequences of doing that. But I realize I'm a hypocrite because I skip ads in the TiVo all the time.
Yeah, I do too.
I think just flash blocking is a good compromise.
That's a good start.
Where you get rid of the super crazy heavy advertisements and just kind of do, the tech stuff or the pictures or whatever.
And the flash is a huge security issue.
All of this pays our salaries. So,
we've been through this before, though, remember? When X10 and others were doing pop-unders and pop-ups, and the browsers built in pop-up blockers.
Yeah.
And because that was so annoying, they were, and you could make the same argument, but those X10 ads are paying for, Windows Magazine or whatever. But they were so annoying.
Should Twit lead a boycott of Flash? Just get everybody to stop using to disable it.
We use it.
I can't not
use it because our providers, Ustream and Bitgravity, their stream providers are in Flash.
But they've got to be preparing to move beyond.
Well, they are. In fact, if you go to twit.tv/live on an Android phone, which has no Flash, it'll still be Ustream, but it'll be an HLS stream from Ustream. So they're capable of doing it. Yeah. I don't know why they don't.
It's like Old Yeller, It's at some point you got to go out there.
Old Yeller. All right, somebody says go to break.com. That'll break your machine.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good cipher.
I wonder how fast. Okay, let's see. How fast? I've never look how fast that loaded.
Yeah.
With uBlock Origin off. Now let's reload it. Well, it's still blocking. Oh no, there they are. Here they come. They're slowly arriving. Filling up the page. Oh, look, I'm on it. Wow.
Yeah, your video is going viral.
All right. Maybe I'll make some money.
On advertising.
I'm on break.com right next to the woman who sued the porn company after accidentally performing with her umbrella. Yeah.
Aren't you proud?
I'm proud. Wow. All right, let's take a break and end this silliness. Ron Amadio, always great to have you on. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Really awesome appreciate it.
Great to have you here, Ron.
Ron's at Ars Technica, and he's on the Twitter at Ron Amadeo. Easy to remember. Yep. Mr. Jeff Jarvis is a professor of journalism at the City University of New York, CUNY. He's also a blogger at BuzzMachine.com and the author of some fabulous reading material.
And, plug time. Audible. Geeksparing Gifts is out as an audiobook. You can hear my dulcet tones. You don't hear enough of me here, you can hear even more of me.
I saw that. I was so excited for you. And you read it.
I read it.
It can't be very long.
No, it's not. I don't know how long it is, but it's not very long. No, a day and a half. It's hard work.
It is. It took a day and a half to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many retakes?
Well, the way they do it is the way I did the first two books is they would have me read and I'd screw up and I would do that regularly and then I would just do it again.
Yeah.
And some poor schmuck editor had to do the whole thing.
Oh, God.
At Audible, they back up to three words before and then you just pick up when the words come back.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they had me do, I did five errors. So they had me come back to do five.
They punch it in.
Yes.
As they say.
Yes. If I ever record a book, I'm going to do it live.
Let's do it live.
Live to tape is such a pain. It's so hard to do.
Geeks Bearing Gifts, 5 hours and 50 minutes of goodness with Jeff Jarvis. You know, you want to hear that in his voice.
Yeah.
You really do. Mike Elgin is our news director and the host of Geeks Bearing News.
Yes, Geeks Bearing News. That's us.
Tech News Today, every TNT, every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC. I'll get it right one of these days at twit.tv.
Yes.
And you'll catch him making cheese and butter.
Cheese and butter. Yes.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. I'm telling you. It's so awesome.
I will never understand why Mike is so slender, thin, good looking, and he eats like a pig.
You know, one of those statements is true. And but, you know,
But Amira feeds you healthy food.
Yes, it's healthy. That's exactly. It's the quality of the food.
It's a Spartan
it's as
diet.
As it gets.
It's amazing.
And we just today, in fact, we bought a cheese cave. It's a it's like a refrigerator that maintains about 50 degrees. And so we're really excited about it. We're going to be making blue cheese and like camembert. And like
that sounds awesome. Yeah. How long does it take to make a blue?
Oh, I think a few, couple months, 3 months, something like that.
We're on. Yeah. Gouda, man. Yes. Gouda.
Gouda.
Yeah. Baby Gouda.
Yeah.
Gouda, baby.
Looking forward to it. So
I'm so
when I go to Gary Vaynerchuk's family's wine store, the wine library in New Jersey, which is a great store. And I always go off, and they have lots of cheese samples.
Yeah.
And I'm just agog about all the different flavors that can come out of an udder.
Oh, cheese is so good.
It's the greatest thing ever.
I don't think it comes out of the udder that way. But
If only it did. Well, GMO cows, maybe someday. You know, I want the chocolate.
Yeah, you could milk cheese.
Cheese.
It would hurt. Love cheese.
Thank you all. What a great show. I love doing this. This is my last show of the week, and I look forward to it all week because I take Thursday and Friday off. But we'll be back. Don't forget, every Wednesday, about 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern time, 23, thereabouts.
Ish.
On twit.tv. And, of course, you can get on-demand audio and video on YouTube, youtube.com/thisweekingGoogle. You can get it on our website, twit.tv/twig. You can get it wherever podcasts are aggregated. Do subscribe so you get it each and every week. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.